Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has a lot riding on 2020. There is the election and the scrutiny his company is under to show it has learned from the mistakes of 2016. At the same time, user demands because of the coronavirus pandemic are putting the company under more pressure to stop the spread of health-related hoaxes. And now the biggest challenge is happening inside Facebook's own walls, a revolt from employees. NPR's Shannon Bond has the story, and we should note that Facebook is an NPR sponsor.
Facebook prizes loyalty. It discourages leaking. So when staff are unhappy, that usually stays inside Facebook. But after President Trump posted on Facebook about protests over police brutality and racism, things changed.
Zuckerberg has been feeling the heat from critics and facing backlash from employees.
A number of senior Facebook executives publicly sharing their outrage.
Hundreds of employees simply walked off the job yesterday.
Trump wrote, "When the looting starts, the shooting starts." When he tweeted the exact same thing, Twitter took a stand. For the first time, it hid the president's tweet behind a warning label, saying it broke its rules against glorifying violence. But Mark Zuckerberg saw it differently. He said the post did not break Facebook's own rules against inciting violence. For some employees, that was the last straw.
I've seen a couple times now that Mark doesn't uphold his principles.
Software engineer Tim Avini was so disgusted, he quit his job at Facebook last week. A dozen other employees tweeted against the decision. It was the most dramatic public rebuke of the CEO, the biggest pushback inside the company that employees can remember. Avini told CNN he thinks Zuckerberg is not sticking to his promise to enforce the rules for everyone.
And if Mark keeps moving that goalpost, moving his threshold for when someone has crossed the line, especially as powerful as the president of the United States, we're in danger.
A lot of people are furious at Facebook right now. Current and former staff, civil rights groups, even scientists who've gotten funding from Zuckerberg's charity. It's a pileup of frustrations new and old. One of them is the lack of diversity, a widespread problem in tech. Less than 4% of Facebook's U.S. employees are Black. Mark Luckey was one of them. He left Facebook after just a year, and he understands the outrage.
This is a snowball. More people are encouraged to be vocal because now a lot of employees are seeing that, hey, Facebook isn't really doing anything and is putting us deeper and deeper into trouble.
Luckey was hired to build relationships with influencers from underrepresented communities. But he says he encountered exclusion and discrimination at Facebook.
When I found that I was going up against the company to do what they hired me to do, I was like, well, I shouldn't be here.
That criticism is also a big part of the current backlash. Many employees were particularly disturbed that only one Black person was involved in the decision to leave up Trump's post. Zuckerberg says he wants to make sure the right groups and voices are at the table. Facebook told NPR it's giving serious attention to what employees are saying. But so far, Zuckerberg has stuck to his position. Here's how he explained his hands-off approach in a CNBC interview before the controversy over Trump's post.
And I think political speech is one of the most sensitive parts in a democracy, and people should be able to see what politicians say. And there's a ton of scrutiny already. Political speech is the most scrutinized speech already by a lot of the media.
As the backlash is built up internally, Zuckerberg has acknowledged just how upset his employees are. In a staff memo last week, he says he understands his decision left many people, quote, angry, disappointed, and hurt. In a small concession, he says Facebook will review some of its policies and consider taking Twitter's approach of labeling posts that break the rules. Dipayan Ghosh used to work on policy issues at Facebook. He's now at the Harvard Kennedy School, and he says the thing that could force real change is financial pressure.
Let's be honest, Facebook is all about the brand because at the end of the day, it's just a website.
He says if Facebook lost users or some of the advertisers who spend $70 billion a year on the platform, that would get Zuckerberg's attention. For now, the CEO has made his stance clear. Back in January, he said he would worry less about whether his policies are popular and spend more time explaining his decisions.
My goal for this next decade isn't to be liked, but to be understood.
Shannon Bond, NPR News, San Francisco.
As protesters around the world are calling for an end to racial injustice, the CEO of the company CrossFit stepped down yesterday, days after he tweeted out inflammatory and racist remarks. Brenda Salinas has more.
CrossFitters love their sport. They go to a kitted-out warehouse, lift heavy weights, sweat a lot, all while others cheer them on. The company took off in the 2000s with international competitions and thousands of gyms paying to use the name CrossFit. Greg Glassman, the founder of CrossFit, is no stranger to controversy. His comments in the past have mostly won him attention, nothing more. But now things have changed.
We're not mourning for George Floyd. I don't think me or any of my staff are.
That's Glassman speaking to gym owners on a Zoom call. Less than 2 hours after this audio was surfaced by BuzzFeed yesterday, Glassman had stepped down. But the controversy started over the weekend when he conflated the coronavirus pandemic with the police killing of George Floyd. He tweeted, "It's Floyd 19.
Which is incredibly inflammatory, insensitive, thoughtless. It's awful.
Armin Hammer is a CrossFit commentator. Over 1,000 gyms have said they're not going to pay to use the brand's name anymore. Top athletes are boycotting the CrossFit Games, the Olympics of the sport. Reebok has cut ties.
CrossFit as a company is getting hit by all sides. I mean, their affiliates are vocally upset. The sponsors are upset. The trainers are upset.
Glassman first apologized and finally resigned as the company tried hard to save face and its brand. Elizabeth Akinwale is a CrossFit star. She's been vocal about the sport's bro culture for years.
People are experiencing in-person harassment. So speak English in this gym, etc. Working out at a CrossFit gym. And a member tells ownership, "I feel uncomfortable when you play music with the N-word. I'm, you know, one of very few people of color." And ownership saying, "Too bad."
Akinwale posted a video on Instagram 3 years ago discussing racism in CrossFit. It only started taking off when she reposted it this week.
Just like when you're competing in athletics, when you see an opening, you strike. That's exactly what's happening right now. There's a moment where people's minds are being open to different things. And this is the moment we need to take advantage of.
That might mean a culture change at CrossFit, the sport they love. For NPR News, I'm Brenda Salinas.
Tonight, heat continues to burn CPI Security after its CEO's anti-protest comments in an email that was made public over the weekend. Big partners have pulled support, ended sponsorships, and the CEO voluntarily resigned today from the CMPD Police Foundation. The CEO has publicly apologized for his words, but with today being the first day back to work for some of its black employees, our Bria Bell caught up with some of those CPI employees to hear what they have to say. Bria is now live. Hey, Bria.
Hi, Molly. Good evening. There is no elephant in the room, so to speak. Those CPI workers say they are not shying away from talking about this, and they even say that CPI administration is on board in putting those workers' feelings first, and that makes sense because on Friday, workers left this building as a sign of solidarity, and some of them did not come back as a sign of their resignation.
You know, the saying is always, you know, when a snake shows its head, at least you know where it is.
It's really just about us, again, coming together and, you know, holding his feet to the fire.
These three men still work at CPI Security. But Monday night, Josh and York, Yusuf Baskin, and Jaron Crops all said they weren't shocked about what Ken Gill, the CEO of the company, wrote in an email. They were just disappointed.
You know, we're not willing to gloss this moment over.
Gill's comments were sent to Queen City Unity, an activist group asking big companies for support in the Black Lives Matter movement. In response, Gill wrote, "Please spend your time in a more productive way. I challenge your statistics. A better use of time would be to focus on the black-on-black crime and senseless killing of our young men by other young men. Have a great day, Ken Gill." After the email was made public, the Carolina Panthers, Charlotte Hornets, Charlotte Knights, NC State Athletics, and Gamecock Athletics ended partnerships with the security company.
Before I came to CPI, I did read some reviews on Glassdoor, and it talked about, you know, sense of white privilege and everything.
Monday night, I went searching for those reviews to back up what employee Baskin said he found. One review I found on that website read, CPI has decent pay, but quote, expect customer abuse to go completely unresolved. Warnings on accounts of racist customers to not send black technicians, etc., are not uncommon. But it's the comments from the weekend making public waves bigger than any of these employees imagined.
Phones are, you know, ringing off the hooks. You know, it's just one of those things where we're getting a lot of overflow, I should say.
All three men say they are not in a position to leave because of bills.
Still have to have a paycheck.
They all agree that a lot of their non-black coworkers are promising to really listen, empathize, and make changes to the culture so black employees feel more comfortable while at work.
A conversation that's going to actually be constructive, that's actually going to get somewhere.
Just because the CEO necessarily says it doesn't mean that everybody in the building feels that way.
With so many customers ending their partnership with CPI, the men say that they are concerned about the future of their jobs. Live in Charlotte, Bria Bell, WBTV on your side.
Bria, thank you.
Since the death of George Floyd, the nation has been reckoning with its racial divisions and history, and companies are stepping up. In the past week, some of the country's largest tech companies, from Intel to Apple, have declared their support for racial equity, and they've urged employees to have more open dialogues about race at work, including at Microsoft. Last week, CEO Satya Nadella held a town hall meeting to discuss the protests happening around the country and recognized that Black Americans don't check their experience at the door. Joining us to talk more about what it's like to work at Microsoft as a Black employee is Tina Eskridge. She's Senior Director of Marketing at Microsoft. Tina, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I want to start out by asking about that town hall meeting we mentioned. Can you talk a little bit about what Nadella said there?
I wasn't in attendance for the town hall, so I'm not able to disclose exactly what was talked about, but I can tell you that, you know, from seeing email messages that came out as a result of that and the posts that were given on LinkedIn that are public, you know, his sentiment is that we don't stand for racism, you know, and that's always been the case. We are proud to work for a company that actually stands with us and understands the plight that's going on in the country and in the world. And, you know, there's no tolerance for it.
And he really talked about having those kinds of conversations in the workplace. Did you see that change anything between the way that you interact with your coworkers about what's happening right now?
I think everybody is, you know, super sensitive to what's happening right now. And there has been a lot of dialogue. And I think that's good, right? I think that, you know, at a time like this, people need to hear that they're not alone. They need to understand that, you know, others can be vulnerable and be empathetic and in trying to seek to understand, you know, what's happening around them.
Working remotely, as most people are right now, does that change the way that these conversations are being had?
Yes and no. I mean, I think obviously, you know, as a global company, you know, many companies are faced with having these conversations offline or online, if you will, through, you know, internet interactions and Teams meetings, et cetera. But I think that by default right now, because we are working from home, that is the method, right? People are communicating via phone. People are having conversations in chats and meetings. I've had people reach out, you know, via text or phone calls, whatever the means they can.
I feel like this is changing the way that a lot of corporations are thinking about how to talk about inclusion and diversity in the workplace. And one of the things I thought was really remarkable about the comments that were, about the statement that was posted, at least from Nadella, is that he was talking about the weight that people carry kind of invisibly with them at work. How does that play out in Microsoft? You said this is a company that really is doing a lot to support diversity and inclusion. Do you feel like those conversations are being had more openly?
I do. I think, you know, you see the progression over time. I mean, I don't think any company is perfect. And obviously, as I mentioned, I don't speak on behalf of my company, but I think that, you know, all of us are in a point, or this is an inflection point, where everyone needs to think more carefully about having the conversations that need to be had in order to help, you know, what's going on externally, because we are more than just our work personas, right? Like, we come to work every day, we have jobs, but that we're more than that, right? Like, we're people at heart. And if we can't function outside in the world, then we can't function well at work.
Tech doesn't have the greatest reputation overall when it comes to diversity in the workplace. And I know that you've been doing a lot to change that, both in your professional life and behind the scenes. How do conversations like these play a role in making more space for diversity in tech?
I think it definitely highlights who's in the room, right? If you're having these conversations and there's nobody around you that represents the individuals that are being oppressed, then, you know, that's certainly a glaring instance where it makes people think what could be done differently, for sure. It doesn't necessarily change anything unless the leadership of any company wants to change it, though. I mean, but there is I do think there's a strong correlation between, you know, having diversity internally in a corporation versus having, you know, having the right conversations play out.
What more can tech companies do to ensure that that happens?
Oh, I think that, you know, it's the same list that's as old as time. There's nothing new. It's just, you know, looking at hiring and promotion and retention, all of those things. I don't work on the D&I side in HR, but, you know, I look at it from a marketing and product perspective. But at the same time, it's the same theory, right? You want people that are making products that look like you so that they know what your struggle is and they can, you know, underscore or eliminate any gaps or barriers that you may have.
It seems like a lot of major tech companies, from Apple to Intel, Microsoft, have been also using social media and other platforms to condemn the death of George Floyd and post messages like Black Lives Matter. Is that important? How important is it?
That's a good question. You know, so I think it's important to see that people are, you know, of course, aware. And again, empathy, you know, goes, you know, a ways in that. But at the same time, the action behind it is far more important. You know, seeing people actually do something, no matter how small, is what's most important to people. You know, it's great. You know, I don't want to see, and I don't speak for everyone, but speaking for myself, I don't want to see companies take advantage of this moment and use this as a PR campaign, right? Because if it's just a PR campaign, then it falls on deaf ears, right? And it means nothing, right? We really just want to see change. Everybody wants to see, you know, action behind those sentiments.
Nadella said that as well in his statements. He said empathy wasn't enough. People need to take action. What kind of action would you like to see more of?
I definitely want to see the conversations continue, right? Because I think that, you know, what tends to happen, if you look back from several years ago, we had, you know, similar but less worse circumstances with Ferguson, with Mike Brown and others. I mean, this has been happening continually, but what happens is we treat it like a moment in time. And rather than have this be a moment in time, it'd be more important that we continue to have open, honest dialogue so that people can be vulnerable and learn and grow. You know, I think part of this is that, you know, obviously Black employees are super frustrated. You know, I've spent the week, probably half the week, in tears, being exhausted, watching the news, watching, you know, social media, and feeling helpless, right? People feel really helpless. And I think that what we need on the corporate side is just having open dialogue, having people, you know, come to the table, the real allies that want to learn and grow and do things differently.
And the reality is, it's not just about the death of George Floyd. It's about everything. That's just been a catalyst to spark this brush fire that's been kind of constantly there. And especially now during the pandemic, seeing the impact that it's had on Black and Brown communities especially.
Yeah, it's so interesting to me that people are like, why, you know, why is this so much more profound than other, you know, circumstances? And it's like, it's exactly what you said. Like, we're in the middle of a pandemic. You're in the middle of, you know, an economic downturn where many people have already lost their jobs. And then in that pandemic, all of the Black and Brown people have been affected the most, right? Because they're the first responders and the individuals that can't afford to stop working. through the pandemic. Many of us, you know, I know people who have had COVID. I know people who have lost their lives, you know, and yet I have colleagues that know no one. It hasn't touched them at all. And then on top of this, you have what happened with George Floyd, right? So it's like people are just super, super, super exhausted. I don't even have another word to say for it because it's pure exhaustion.
Tina, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Floyd 19, context of white supremacy. Gusty Renegade in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Friday, June 12, 2020. So I have been told. Floyd 19. This is our weekly broadcast, Neutralizing Workplace Racism. Try to set aside time. Woo, amidst the, wow, exhausting 2020. You know, I thought today, I said, man, I said, spring 2020 is basically over. I don't even know what happened to it, but it's basically done. June 2020, which is my favorite month. I love June. Summertime, it gets warm. All of the things. Who doesn't love June? Like even, you know, little children, like school is out. Hooray. At least for a lot of them. Like summertime. Get out of here. Burn all these books. Ha ha ha. And have a great time. Man, June is half over. Protests, tear gas, all the rest. June is half over. 2020 is half over. Wow. What a year where it's been. Just hoping we can get to the end. Hopefully the last half, right, will be way better, like exponentially better than the first part of 2020. We'll see. Before we get to workplace racism, Cal's Counter-Racist Yoga Retreat, we are going to aim for Washington, D.C., August 5th through the 9th. See if we can get there. Hopefully COVID-19 will cooperate. The protests will have calmed down by then. We will be able to hang out August 5th through the 9th. Enjoy some yoga, some plant-based meals, discuss counter-racism. What has happened this year? My goodness, might be the first brief bit of respite in a long, long time. But we'll get down August 5th through the 9th. The price is $680. Deposit of $400 due by June 22nd. Folks have already signed up. If you're interested, the details are updated on the blog, racism-notes.blogspot.com. Make sure to send that out. It took a while to kind of get resettled. It was a tough year. Tough year, and then having to cancel the retreat before and figure out what the heck is happening on the planet. It has been challenging. But we are forging ahead. We'll see if we can get down. Hopefully things will be a little bit better in 2 months. Get out and do all that. August 5th through the 9th, drop an email if you need more details. It has been updated on the blog, racism-notes.blogspot.com. I'll send out the link for folks who have written in and are thinking they would like to hang out in D.C. for a few days, do some yoga, eat some yummy food, and discuss counter-racism. August 5th through the 9th, we will see if we can make it happen. Workplace racism. Wow. What a week. What a month. What a year. The protests have still been roiling hugely here in Seattle. I just saw, without anything to celebrate, I just saw here in Seattle they took up like almost an entire city block and wrote Black Lives Matter down the middle of the block. I have no idea how that improves anything. They already had a rainbow in the middle of the cross street. And I think I told the incident before from just last summer. I was going to teach yoga in the park to mostly black children. I was in the red, black, and green crosswalk in the Central District. That's where the coloreds used to live, gentrification. And I almost was hit by a white man in the crosswalk. He was going zero. He was at a complete stop and accelerated as he saw me in the crosswalk with flashing lights to indicate, oh yes, pedestrian, go ahead. Nope, just another coon on the plantation. In the red, black, and green crosswalk. Anyway, everything that is happening currently, white people have gotten fired, transferred from their jobs for comments or social media posts or even being recorded. You heard that in the first segment where the white fella, he's making those comments. We are not mourning George Floyd. Keep it real. Floyd 19, he said. If he had been listening to the cows, at least, even though we are about counter racism, if he had been listening to the context of white supremacy, say all the time, you speak as though everybody can hear what you say. All the time. There's never a time where you're speaking as though you're not being recorded, Alexa, transcribed. So if you're cracking racist jokes, you're comfortable with everybody making racist jokes. That's the way we've been talking for a long time. I'm hearing background noise. If you are on the line, use your mute button. I shouldn't be hearing any echoing and talking over. So use your mute button or whatever you need to do. It's very distracting to have unnecessary echoing in the background. Let's see. I'll figure out if that's on my line. Maybe I did. Oh, thought I had already clicked the button. There we go.
Q&A session has started.
Ha-har.
The recording has started.
Ha-har. Feel much better now. All right. But yeah, you have to be codified in terms of what you say on the job. It is not time to just be running off at the mouth and talking about, you know, whatever your views on the protests are or what you think about President Trump or what they should do about defunding the police department. That is not what we're on the job to talk about, your frustrations. And it might be tricky because I was thinking they might be saying this week, oh, come on. Oh, come on, Gus. We know you've been watching. Tell us what you think. We're serious. We want to know. That's, we need dialogue. That's what they've been saying. We got to have open dialogue. Tell us what we can do. We're not going to be. They might really press. I would have a list of problems that you would like corrected, if anything. It would not be, I'm going to talk about my feelings about anything. It would not be, I'm going to tell you, you know, what it was like growing up or how. If there's specific problems here that we can address to make things better, that would be great. Other than that, nah, I don't really have anything to say. Maybe if you give me some time to think on it, I'll be able to come up with something, and all I would be thinking of, are there specific problems, questions that I would like answered? That's about it. They do not pay me to talk about racism. I think one of our callers, she said, I have a consulting fee. If you would like to pick that up, or we can do a workshop or something. But other than that, nah. Let's just get back to work. Thank you. Thank you kindly. But talking, not coming in the job, talking even to other black people, I'm not talking to them like, you know, these folks are my friends and they're cool and they're not going to snitch on me. They're not going to go back and report what I said to white people. No, we don't have those sort of conversations even now about racism, even if they press you. Floyd 19. I heard some the black people in North Carolina. With the security firm where they said like the Carolina Panthers and some of the other businesses in the state were cutting their contracts and saying that, you know, we're not going to work with these folks anymore, CPI security. And some of the black employees, you know, hey, we're afraid all these folks cutting their contracts and such. We might be fired. They might take it out on us. You know, then we went out and done an interview. You know, they might want to attack us. Say, no good niggers tried to employ you, give you a job. Get out of here. Sit here and make all this trouble for us, you and George Floyd. Get the Floyd 19 and the COVID 19. That is the system. It is something, you know, to consider all of these situations. You can be fired for not doing anything incorrect, just white people practicing racism, white supremacy. That is very, very common in the system. Incidentally, with that, the job they were also talking about in terms of it being a pattern of racism, in terms of how they were mistreated by patrons, folks who used the company or would call or what have you, or I guess if they would have to go out and deal with these folks directly and they would be mistreated and then they would report back to the company like, oh man, I was mistreated. Maybe they said something racist or whatever it was. And they said that there was nothing, no response, no resolution, no nothing. that's something where you'd also need to have a really good code, both to keep a record. I am making a report that I'm being mistreated, violations are happening, and they're not doing anything to respond. And I would need to work out my own code to make sure that I'm safe. If I'm going out and working on people's property or working with them or whatever the case is, I have to make sure that I'm going to be safe doing this job. So I would have to have an even more extensive code, if not working on an exit strategy where, oh my, I'm going to work with these folks and I'm being mistreated or feeling unsafe, and my employer is not willing to do anything to resolve this matter. In fact, they're totally ignoring me. I'm telling them I'm in an unsafe condition or things are happening. I don't even get a response. System of racism. I thought it was interesting, all the reports, the tech companies, Mark Zuckerberg and his lack of enforcement for Facebook, or letting Trump send out his violent tweets, and then at Microsoft, them also talking about how exhausting it's been, lack of employing of black people. That is widespread for a lot of folks. That's why I said I personally would probably not be looking to get into a whole lot of crusades on the job, like we need to, you know, have a diversity month, or we need to have a stance on Black Lives Matter or something like that. Like, I'm not going to get involved in any of that. I think we had some folks last week who said that they were having projects like that, fireside conversations and some sort of artwork to show that Black Lives Matter. Like, I would let white people participate in all of that. You end up doing it and it upsets a white person and causes probably, like, let them participate in all of that. Whatever the job is that you signed up for, that's where I would focus my time and energy. I would not engage in any of this. And because I think this is going to be on the clock, I do not see there being a, you know, unlimited amount of time where you can have all this chatter about racism just everywhere, all over the news and the workplace and all of that. White people generally have a tendency for they will do this sort of thing for a limited period of time. And then, all right, we've tried to appease you niggers and you're still, you know, unsatisfied, and, you know, we're done. That's what Crystal Seiler said. It's a number of them. We read Elizabeth and Hazel about the Little Rock Nine, and that's what Hazel said. Hazel Masri, I think her name is, the white woman, who said, I tried, didn't I hang out with a Negro, didn't I? No, I'm not voting for Obama. We read it. It's right at the conclusion of the book. I tried. I gave the Negros a chance and just couldn't satisfy. I'm through. I'm washing my hands with it. I'm done with Black Lives Matter and Al Sharpton and all the rest of them. That would be my suspicion. So that would just, all that to say, I would not get involved in these type of projects, because this might be the way that they're responding now, the beginning of June. Ain't no guarantees it's going to be all this whoopee for Black Lives Matter and all this come July 1 or August 1, September 5. No guarantees at all. I would let the white people be the ones to participate in any of these workplace projects. They change their mind about it or whatever, how it evolves. They decide that they want to add LGBTQ to it or whatever. Come a month from now or 5 days from now, you're not involved. I don't have anything to do with that. My time and energy is on why I was paid and hired in the first place, which was probably not to discuss racism. The number to dial is 605-313-5164, the code 564-943 pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Number again, 605-313-5164, the code 564-943 pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Again, this broadcast is not for spectators. This is still, I feel like I've been saying it for 2-3 months. Still, this is a historic time on the planet. I think just like they're talking about the Spanish flu a century ago, they will be talking about this period of time for a long while, for many reasons now. They'll be talking about the year of 2020, so you'll have your contribution recorded, what was happening, what you thought we should have been doing, what you observed. Make sure it is recorded, and to make sure this is included in our analysis of white supremacy racism, which, you know, as everyone is saying around the world, the problem, the system, white supremacy racism. Absolutely. Number again, 605-313-5164, the code 564-943 pound. press *61 if you would like to participate. You can also email for folks if you are uninterested or unable to dial in directly. You can drop an email untiljustice@gmail.com. untiljustice@gmail.com. We can read your commentary anonymously and, you know, make sure if you have concerns about folks figuring out who you are and such, we can keep it confidential. Let's see, folks who wrote in already, we'll try to get in our emails. What a week it has been on the workplace for lots of folks. I could have even included more reports about folks getting into trouble on their job for things that they said or things that they wrote, social media posts. Again, Dr. Kamal Kamban for years has told us you shouldn't even have these social media pages unless, you know, you're going to be under a pseudonym that is well hidden, well conceived, and you're not pals, friends, and all that with people that you work with. Unless that's the case, I wouldn't even be on any of these platforms. And for that very reason, he said it could probably cause you some problems for your job. You've been seeing that for a long time now, a number of years now. Folks getting in trouble for something that they wrote online, social media. Wouldn't have all those accounts. Wouldn't be, if you want to have those accounts, need those accounts to say whatever you want, just make sure it is not attached to your, you know, legal name, how you're known on your job, and you're not friends with any of your folks at work. Let's see. Read one email, and then we'll get to folks who dialed in. So international. Folks around the world hanging out, listening in. Workplace racism, major problem. So first email, one of our investors, he writes in, conversations over the past 2 weeks. Number one, text from racist suspect coworker, pictures, text to me from street outside coworker's residence of Black Lives Matter riot, end quote. Text caption sent with pictures, riot police out with tear gas downtown. Me. Interesting. Is that the view from your house? Racist suspect. Yes. They look like a bunch of mostly white guys, neo-Nazis, lots of tattoos. Me. Get back inside. Right on. If this is a suspected racist, I don't even know if I would rush him to get back inside. Like, they might be his brethren. Like, he might not be unsafe. Number two, non-white coworker in a, oh man. Number two, cowbell. Non-white coworker in a tragic arrangement chases me down the hallway to start a conversation. Rapidly talking and out of breath. That guy died. No blood to the brain? Can that happen? Me. It happens. I walk away. Brilliant. What did I just say? You are not paid to have these conversations, not even with another black person. Even if he had been married to a black female who has, you know, a black father, black mom, 4 black grandparents, 8 black grandparents, I don't care. It would be nothing to say about racism. Yep. It happens. See if you can get that into one. Yes. Can that happen? Yes. And keep it moving. And why is he running it out? I mean, like, what is going on? What a year it has been. What a year it has been. Why are you running down the hallway? Calm yourself. Out of breath. Hasn't it? COVID-19, they say that's respiratory. George Floyd, Floyd-19, they choked him to death. Hasn't it been? Man, can't even breathe in 2020. Number three. Female suspected racist coworker with a smile on her face. You should get an award for consistently wearing a mask. Brilliant. That's the response. No question. Do I need to say something? Respond. I'm chilling. NPR, I mean, I wouldn't say this to them, but I mean, NPR, they just had a report this week. Health officials were saying, hey, seems like it might be a good idea to wear these masks. Might be helpful. Rona might be hanging out in the background for a while. Keep a mask on. White person, race soldier making light of a black person trying to be safe in the workplace might be an act of racism. I said a lot of black self-respect is just going to come down to, you know, doing things to protect your safety and health for this year. Seems like there might be a whole lot of that. People ridiculing you for trying to do things that are safe or being concerned about your health might be ridiculed for that this year. Folks calling you, you know, names and such, trying to make a joke out of it. No need to respond to that either. In addition to wearing a mask required by the job, that would even be, wait a minute, if we're required, shouldn't everybody, again, you don't need to say anything, but just shouldn't everybody be wearing a mask if it's required by the job? Who are the people that don't have to follow policy and procedure here? Maybe I don't need a reward. Maybe they should be reprimanded, not being concerned about the health and well-being of their colleagues. But he writes, in addition to being required by the job, I also wipe down my work area with a disinfecting wipe supplied by the job daily, not required when I first arrive. Laptops, phones, door chain, door, chair, door handles. I saw this done by the U.S. military as a part of their COVID-19 protocol when they arrived for duty in the missile silos and decided to adopt it. Take it serious. I love it. I love it. You got some white people who apparently are taking this seriously. I have purposely tried to keep my responses limited and have not gotten into any long conversations regarding the events of the past months. Bravo. That is spectacular. Social distancing. We're not supposed to be hanging out in the hallway panting on people anyway. Put your mask on and go sit down. You can drop an email, send a text message. We got all this 2021st century technology. You don't need to be coming over here with your anybody, really, white person, non-white person, panting to ask me about George Floyd or how to use the copier or anything else. Let me go sit down and keep your mask on. But no need to have long, drawn-out conversations. If folks are trying to pull you into that to talk about anything really other than the job, like, let me make it, before I even utter a syllable, let me make sure, do I need to say anything? Did they ask me a question? Is this related to the job? Are they being serious? Let me run that through, man. Then if I do need to answer, let me make my response as efficient as possible. I'm not going to sit up here and talk all day long. Concise, to the point. Spectacular. I love it. Take it serious. Mask, disinfecting, all of that. Take it serious. Take it serious until we have an astronomical amount of, you know, quadruple checked data about what is happening. Take it super serious. The email is untiljustice@gmail.com and the number is 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Let's see, I will nab. International we have been the entire time we have been on. The system of white supremacy is global throughout the known universe. Some of our folks that are hanging out, listening in. Let's see, our caller in Norway has been with us before. Did you have commentary on workplace racism? I don't know what's going down on your job on your side of the world. I guess we can get our time stamp. Let me see if my math is good enough. So is it almost 3 a.m. your time? Is it 2:47 a.m. over in Norway?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's 2:47 here in Norway. I went to bed early so I could wake up to join the program. Thank you for today's program. It's good to listen to it.
Yikes, yikes. Rest is important, but wow, we are trying to solve a problem throughout the known universe, the system of white supremacy. Good to have you on. He's been with us before, our caller in Norway, Anders Breivik, his cousin.
You can call me Kamau.
Kamau. Kamau. Yeah. Am I saying it correctly? Kamau?
Yep.
Gotcha. So awesome to have you with us, sir. Workplace racism. What is going down in your work occupation over there in Norway?
Okay. Well, I'm a board member for a university. And for the past 2 months, I've been in Norway. They've been it's a country that has a lot of money put aside. So students who work at the university students that lost their part-time jobs were compensated by the government, almost like 30,000 kroners. But international students aren't considered in the same way. So I've been working behind the scenes to support the International Students Union to get some support for international students. And almost every university, every major university has like put aside 10,000 krona grants. That's a third of what the Norwegian students are getting. 10,000 krona one-time grants for international students. But I've failed to get my own university to provide that for international students. And I suspect it might have to do with me. The leader of the university knows that I'm behind this happening around other places and I'm on his university board and brought it up 3 times, and I keep getting, first time was a pleasant response. Thank you for bringing this up. Second time, oh, the government is helping them. And I ask, oh, well, then probably we can have a survey be made for our international students at this university. And then yesterday I asked what's happening. It's been 2 months, and since then, every major university has done something. And the answer he gave the board was like, he made it seem like most of the international students have went home. And the Norwegian students have it hard. And my colleagues on the board found it very strange, but it's very confusing. I suspect it has something to do with me, that he doesn't want to give me a win. He doesn't want to be pushed to spend money on supporting international students, because then he would have given it to what my politics is. I spoke to the leader of the students yesterday privately, and made a mistake and spoke about my feelings and racism. And his response was that racism is going to be the new Me Too movement. The student leaders are white male. So I'll just leave that comment where it is. As I woke up, I saw a message from someone asking if I wanted to meet and talk about things, white female. And here in Norway, there have been massive demonstrations. The African Students Union organized a demonstration last week to match with the George Floyd demonstration. And they planned for only 50 people at the American Embassy, and 30,000 people signed up on Facebook. So there's a big thing in the news about how they're going to do, you know, this is going to be breaking the lockdown and so on. They made an arrangement with the police and the authorities. Okay, we'll have only 50 people 2 meters away from each other at the embassy. We'll select those people. And then elsewhere in Oslo, they will have 750 people forming a big circle. And they informed everybody who had signed up, that's what's going to happen. And people were like, fuck, excuse me, they were like, hell no. we're going to march on the Parliament building. That's what happened. 15,000 people ended up being at the Parliament building. And this was organized by the African Students Union at the University of Oslo. And it was attended by lots of people who classify themselves as white. And also there seemed to be quite a few articles on Facebook about people, non-white people, talking about their experiences with racism. Some non-white people saying, I've been saying this for years, here's a book that I wrote. A lot of discussion and so on. But the Prime Minister said, before the demonstration went out, the Prime Minister said, yes, there's more police interactions with non-white, with black people in America because they're, they do more criminality. And this is a white female who is known to have had a boyfriend, an African boyfriend, when she was a student, or when she was a student politician. So I thought that was interesting. She's known to have had an African boyfriend, and that she says something like this. So it's clear that those two things, that love did not stop the practice of racism. So people responded to that, and, you know, there are some non-white politicians, you know, local Oslo politicians have been, like, responding to her and saying that she should apologize and so on. And what I've seen her say is that, well, the statistics show, you know, I'm just saying what's the statistics show. So she's a conservative politician. Her party won after Obama was elected, as many of the far-right movement, you know, they all got motivated when Obama got elected. So her party has been in power for the past 6 years. And, so she's the truth. She referenced statistics on why people are talking about racism more often. And they're saying, this is what's happening to me. And I'm skeptical of all of it. My response has been to stay at home and make... and to study the ISIS papers. But I also wanted to have some community. That's why I, attempted last week to join the COWS program, but I fell asleep. But I've been on three or four Facebook groups, and three or four or five Facebook groups that black people have for Dr. Welsing or Mr. Fuller or against, you know, some Ivan Van Sertimer or another one called The Destruction of Black Civilization, that book that Chancellor Williams wrote. And so I've been there and been looking at the discussions, seeing how much, what kind of understanding people have. And I thought that the Facebook group on Dr. Welsing would have just people that read her book. Because how else would they have known about her? But that didn't turn out to be the case. I can talk about my experiences there. But my major response has been to study the ISIS papers and to make videos, 5-10 minute videos, summarizing chapters in the book. And so to help improve people's understanding. So I use, I summarize the text, and I use images that reflect, find images to illustrate her text and the points that she makes. And I felt that that's the way I wanted to contribute to the movement. I'll move my line from here if you need more time to talk to someone else.
Wow. Much obliged, Kamau, joining us live in Norway. Jeez, almost 3 a.m. So much to share. I'm I'm not surprised, and I suspect that that should sound familiar to some folks in the States or wherever, Canada, wherever you happen to be, you know, listening in at, in terms of a vindictive white person on a job where, you know, you're doing something. This is not for you per se, but just, hey, if, you know, this is a global crisis. And they are part of our family, the university family, they say. That's the type of rhetoric they use. They are part of their family. In fact, for a lot of universities, those international students, woof, those are what you call cash cows, because you got to pay even more money if you're an international student. So, you know, why not look out for some of these? But probably got a lot of dark folks there, too. But why not, you know, make sure that we're looking out for them the same way we're looking out for folks who are Norwegian or Norwegian citizens.
They don't pay, sir.
They don't what?
They don't. Nobody pays tuition in Norway.
Wow. Look at that.
I'm the reason I'm known for having stopped that 10 years ago.
Wow.
And last month, the leader of the university tried to bring it up. And I put my foot down and everybody else on the board backed me. Because it's called the principle of free education. So it's been, and since this conservative prime minister party came in, they tried to start it up again. But I've so focused the student movement to stand behind this that it's something that they don't break. It's almost automatic that we're the last Scandinavian country that has free education.
These are the areas President Trump brags and boasts about, Sweden and such. Man, it would not be these are like the Alpine whites, the whitest of the whites, and they have the lower populations of non-white people in those areas. But wow, could you imagine free tuition here in the States or even in Canada, some of the other places where they have, you know, more dark people? Wow. And so then for you to be the one pushing all this through, like, I am sure that there are races like this. Oh, it's getting these niggers in and getting money, and now they don't have to pay tuition. Now he's talking about we got to give them stipends. Like, oh, I hate him. I hate his guts. And he's oppressed. So I'm sure that is the case. And like I said, I'm sure folks around the world can relate to that, where you have someone where, again, it's not even like I'm coming in here asking for a raise or a new desk or, you know, a new vacation, something like that, extra time off. Hey, let's look out for our family. Just because it's you, I don't want to look like I'm giving in to you. I'm losing. They make everything a race. I am race. That's what Dr. Welsing said. I don't want to make it like I'm losing another one to the Negro. No surprise at all about the white woman, cowbell, and her antics, standard operating procedure. I think it's great to be measured with what you say, what you don't say in those environments, because you already know that this is someone who is really dangerous, not a suspect. Also, I think self-reflection, say that again, man, when we get that urge to criticize another victim of racism and how they are responding to the system of white supremacy, criticism begins at home. The coon that you know the most about in terms of misconduct and misbehavior and not following what needs to be done to replace white supremacy with justice. Person in the mirror. And we all make mistakes. We're all still learning. Myself, everybody. That's why we still got this problem. But just being able to evaluate, like, man, I was in my feelings a little bit today and talking about racism, got to work on that, be a little bit more codified. It's exactly what I want to say. Sometimes that's what I do. Sometimes you just kind of think in advance, like, this is what I'm going to say, and that's it. Like, I'm not going to get on and ramble talking to these white people. Like, it is not time to just be getting up and speechifying specific. And I might not even need to say anything, because I might, like I said, sometimes you have to stop and think, like, wait a minute, do I even need to? Maybe I'll just do my and leave it at that, like, as little as possible. Like, I would be really, really measured, and I'm not here to talk about racism, white people, none of that, not trying to educate them. really measured with what I say. Always great when we can evaluate and see, I'm going to work on that, be better for next time around. The protest, I don't know. They're doing that here? That's, I don't know. Getting together in a circle and I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. They still got the Rona and a whole lot of other things. Being at home and using your time and energy constructively to study Dr. Welsing, try and produce some content, find constructive means of exchanging views with other victims, I think that is much better investment than being outside, yelling in the streets, hoping you, well, I don't know if they would be shooting people down over there, but even still, being outside, yelling in the streets in front of Parliament or wherever, I don't know what's going to come from that, but we shall see. Much obliged, Kamau in Norway. We'll see if folks have any questions. Take advantage of our global. I guess it's always global. We have B in Canada hanging out with us frequently, and we've had other folks dial in from South Korea and other spots. So folks have either questions, thoughts, and the invitation I had already told Kamau, hang out with us. We have Global Sunday Talk on Racism. I'm so itching. Next Sunday, not this coming Sunday, but next Sunday, you will not have to be up until 3 a.m. for that one, because that's early in the afternoon for that very reason. That's why that program comes on at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific. So for that one, it would be 9 p.m. That's much easier. Don't have to stay up all night, 9 p.m. Norway time, Sunday, 1 week from this Sunday. And we'll be able to, go into more detail and hear what folks are saying in different spots on the globe. COVID-19, the protests, looking forward to it. Global Sunday Talk on Racism. Woo, what a year. Let's see. Other folks who dialed in, if you have comments, questions, your own situation to share, line should be open. Proceed.
Ooh, can I be heard?
Yes, ma'am.
Yay! Okay, thanks for taking my call. Greetings, everyone. Okay, so Monday we had, I'm just now chiming in, but we had a, let's talk about race. So the person that owns us, he mumbles and stumbles on his words. He had a video, a still picture of a little girl, looked like she was about maybe 11. Not even 11, maybe 8. She was holding a sign, basically saying, we're not saying only Black Lives Matter. We know all lives matter. Something. And basically what they're saying is, at the end, it kind of said that our lives are in danger. So when he's reading it, he doesn't add that part that Black lives are in danger. He says some other word, basically like, oh, well, you know, Blacks are important, or something to that magnitude. And that was his favorite sign. And he did included a video recording of a Black male behavior therapist, and he had to work. But he basically was saying how he's treated, because this is our only window right here. Since they want to talk about race, I guess everyone's had pinned up issues, race issues, that they don't get to talk about. And maybe, you know, you get cut off in HR. It's not race, you know. But now, since we're talking about it now, he's just expressing how he feels and how he gets belittled just being a Black male technician, and how he's treated, how they second his you know, like, are you sure, that kind of thing. And another supervisor, she would be supervisor over us, so that's maybe a 4-year credential plus the test. She chimes in, woo, and she's like, she wants to say something from third grade, and she's just, is finally her chance, and she's so excited, and you can just hear the passion, and like, she wants to cry, saying how she feels in the field, and there's not a lot of Black supervisors. No one, there's not a lot of Black anything in the field, because it's a white-dominated field, the education system in itself, and the disability sector part of it, and the white women are kind of, you know, running it. So it's, you get to vent that, and so the supervisor's like, well, or the owner of us, they're saying, well, do you think we need... you know, we're working on stuff, you know, trying to get stuff together, give you guys, you know, a place to,
you know, talk, and, you know, we're trying to help you guys with our privilege, and we're trying to put together some, like, mental health days, and, you know, we're just trying to see, and maybe a day off if you need mental health, and I know it's stressful. I'm not condoning violence or anything, and so that kind of thing. So we had an hour of that, and it kind of went over. It's like, well, you'll get another chance to talk. This isn't your only time to shine, so to be continued. But yesterday was my last day of work. Woo! So I lived it. I didn't, well, I was hoping they canceled, but they didn't. So the supervisor chimed in on Wednesday, and she was there almost 2 hours until her internet copped out. So, of course, they do their extra, and they're fighting and doing what they do. Little boy terrorizing me. So yesterday, I could take it to my last day. As soon as I come in, gotcha! You know, am I it? Grabbing your clothes, grabbing your dress, like, no pulling on the clothes. Gotcha! Yeah. I'm going to bite you! Like, so the little boy, he maybe stayed in until maybe 30 minutes. He was away from me for about 30 minutes, then we all went on the bike ride, and then we come back in. It was very short because it was hot. So, they come in, they have juice, want to play whatever it is, maybe tag, some kind of tag. And fighting over who's going to be it, fighting over this, fighting over that. So the mom says something to the little boy, and she's like, okay, so give it to her. And she's, no, I'm doing nothing. No, no. She's like, I'm going to do this. Oh, I don't care. And then now she tried to get him. He's rough kicking her. Blah, blah, blah. So the sister, she kind of does something, and so she brushes it off, the mom. Everything is just brushed off. And so the sister and the brother are combating each other, and so he bites her. And before he bites her, he tries to attack me. So, been over here, going over there, go over there. So he's at him like a Rottweiler or a pit. They don't stop. So he's, you know, keeps at it. So then he takes it out on his sister. So he bites his sister. So the mom comes out. No worries about me. But the mom comes out. Did you bite your sister? What? No. Did you? I think you bite. Then she looks at her arm. Hey, that looks like a bite. I told you about that from when you bit me. And said, this is a problem. And make it right. Make it right. And then so, no, I don't want. She did this. No, I don't want to. No. No. And so she had to take him. He kicking and jumping on her. So before I'm leaving, the little girl, she's going to grab me. She's going to get you. Going to eat you. You're it. No, I'm not it. Y'all couldn't figure it out. I'm out. I'm not it. I'm out. So then she comes, tries to bite. Like, no biting. No biting. So she's going to actually going for my raw, melanated arm to sink those teeth into me. It's like, oh, I'm savages. So flew out of there. Like, oh, gotta go. I even left a little early. Oh, gotta go. You guys can't make up your mind. Next time, see you later. I don't know how much later, but later. So that was it. I left. And I will never see them again unless we so happen to be at the grocery store. Wonderful time. So I'm very excited. I'm going to celebrate next week. And I'm going to take them up on that mental health day. I think I'm going to take a mental health month. And, that's all, and I'll mute my line, and thanks for taking my call.
She's so excited. That's spectacular. Take a mental health month. I love it. I love it. Because, and you can include that right there, you know, being terrorized. Delectable Negro. We got the Rona, and she's trying to bite you on your bare arm. Like, come on. Come on. That's ridiculous. We just read about that. Worst book ever. Nutritional destruction of black people. That was how he closed out, talking about white people being cannibals and all the rest of it. Back up off of me. I've said that before. If you work in a workplace environment where it's young, where they white people bring their children, or if you're going into a home situation, very important to have a code to regulate white offspring, because I mean, wow, that can be really dangerous, lots of problems. Then if you say something, they come and are chomping on you and all the rest. Like, whoa, we got the virus. And, whoa, did you touch my child? Did you try to rape little Jen? I mean, you know, have a code. I think some folks have talked about that directly, like they're going to do, you know, installation or what have you. They got to work on the wires or anything like that. Like, ma'am, this is going to be a dangerous procedure to ensure my safety, make sure I can get the work done, make sure that the dog stays here or your children stay here or whatever it is, like have a code about that. Oof, man, but I'm so thankful that you can get the heck out of there. Don't have to see them anymore. Like, total terrorists, delectable Negro. Just keep doing that. I'm going to bite you. I'm going to eat you. I'm going to eat you. And try. I mean, anyway, but the mental health and all that aspect, them said they're going to let you shine. We shall see. Again, I would have either specific questions about the work in general, or it's just if it's specific information that you think they can give you that would be helpful to you. I would have questions. If it's a specific mental health day, month, week, whatever it is, if it's a request for something reconstructive, which would still be a question. But other than that, like, oh, no, I'm not getting up. I'm not going to take 20 minutes and talk about the time that I didn't get the job or I got called a nigger. I'm good. Let's get. Don't we have some other clients? Do we have new children on the intake or, you know? Much obliged, Bay Area mom. Great job. So thankful you're safely out of there. Man. The number again, 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. I will share one quick email and then check in other folks who dialed in if you have comments, questions to add. Let's see. Next person. Okay, so this person says, I don't work directly with Dana Carney, white woman, suspected racist, but she practiced racism when she responded to me. I simply asked her for the names and workplaces of all the racists she knows, and this is how she responded. Now, Dana R. Carney was a guest on The Cow, so let's see. She responds, well, first of all, we are all biased. Didn't say racist. In the research so many of us have done, what seems to matter more than implicit bias is whether you care to control it, whether you are internally motivated to control your prejudice, not racism, reactions. This essentially blocks the pollution in our minds, pollution that none of us were born with, from turning into racist words. Now we got racist words. We got pollution, bias, prejudice. Pollution, that'd be a metaphor too. But to answer your question directly, we as scientists don't usually collect identifiable information on participants. We aren't allowed to. You have to seek special permission from a review board at your university to do so, and you need a damn good reason for it. So in our studies, we don't know names, workplaces, or anything like that. We have age, race, ethnicity, gender, identity, and sometimes political affiliation. I would insert my buckets and buckets of words at this point, because I mean, you do all these research studies and everything, which is totally true. But I mean, you work with white people, right? Like, you have white colleagues at the university and such who practice racism, I'm sure. You have had jobs throughout your life. Like, she's not, Dana Carney is not like a 20-year-old white woman. She's not a 15-year-old white woman. Like, she has an extensive work history. So you could reflect back over that time. We don't have to talk about people in your studies and just say, let's see. Oh, Bill, oh, he was for sure a racist. I haven't been around him, but I could see Bill is probably somebody saying, oh, Floyd 19, he would love that one. I remember old Bill. Susan, come on. She continues, but that's it. I can tell you some good news. Even though almost all of us have racism deep in our unconscious mind, almost all of us? Really? Come on now. Deep in our unconscious minds, many more of us do not want to be racist for internal personal reasons, and that motivation to not be racist predicts more behavior than the damn pollution in our brains in the first place. A lot of profanity. That is the only good news I can offer, and it does seem like white people, including me, are realizing what white privilege truly is when we did not understand before. The ignorant white person. We can never understand. Dude, can never. But at least people are listening and trying to understand. She was a guest on The Cows in 2010, and she did a little better job of being logical, because that's just a lot of a white woman, a very informed, not ignorant white woman who has a doctorate and is paid a lot of money to do studies and research and talk in a confusing manner about white supremacy racism. There you go. I'll post the link so folks can see her visit to The Cows. Woo! Much obliged, sir. Other folks who dialed in, if you have comments, questions, proceed.
Hi, Gus.
Greetings, B in Toronto. Yes, ma'am.
Greetings to you, callers and listeners. Congratulations, Bay Area Mom. I'm sure that you've been waiting for this moment, and justly so. Working with families can be very, very frustrating, and there is terrorism abound within the household, often with quite a number of white families that one is assigned to. So I'm happy that you're able to leave that plantation, and you know, I hope that there will be a more positive situation for you in the future, and definitely take advantage of the mental health leave. Self-care is so important. I was also thinking that during this time that quote unquote white people are now listening, or so they claim, it would be ideal to ask even further further inquiries around promotions, and to definitely submit your resumes for promotions and see just how many black people they do actually hire. So wherever a promotion is a promotional opportunity is had, definitely go for it. That's what I would suggest. For myself, I'm better today than the last few days than I was last Friday. However, I do have a report. On Wednesday, June 10th, the employer decided to call me, the program director, to advise me that I was not going to get paid for this pay period, which was to be on June 15th, which really shocked me, because of the fact that I did have sick days. But I was told that because I've used up all my sick days, that's why I will not be receiving any payment for June 15th. So for a short period of time, I went into a panic because, of course, I need to go and pay bills. Ironically enough, when I contacted the government regarding the emergency measures funding, I qualified for it. Not only did I qualify for it, but I actually ended up getting more than what I would have been paid and got it early. So so luckily, I was able to access resources there. It was through my offspring that reminded me of this when I was in a temporary moment of panic mode.
And then I began to reflect on just how much, yet again, Black lives are so fragile, in that in a moment's notice, death can happen. And that's why when I hear about white fragility, it has no substance. In fact, if I should ever hear about white fragility again, my code is going to be that there is no such thing as white fragility, but there is such a thing as fragility within Black lives because of the adverse effects of white supremacy. I did participate in an interview last week, so I'm awaiting word. They were going through the references, so I was waiting word to see what happens. I didn't hear anything today, so hopefully Monday I might hear something as to the result. And also, in listening to the into the snippets of the interviews and the newsreel, just at the beginning of the show or the podcast, I was also reflecting on how much I abhor the statement, no, whatever it is perfect. And the reason I abhor that statement is the fact that it's not about being perfect. It's about doing what's right. They're completely two separate things. Being perfect is such an ambiguous term. It has expectations that are unattainable because it is relative to whomever that ambiguous term means to that person or group. Much like the word hope is very ambiguous. And so as part of my code, I'm also going to include that whenever I hear someone say nobody's perfect or no company's perfect, I will respond in perfection is not the issue. Doing what's right is the issue. But yes, I think now, as any other time, but more so now, I feel that we should take as much opportunity to press for what we want. So in particular, when it comes to the promotions, any trainings, definitely ask about those and definitely go for them. Thank you, and I leave the line.
Ask for things we need and want that are compensatory investment requests. Like, that's a great time for them. And then just on the job specifically, promotions, trainings. Oh, hit me in the heart. Training, promotions, things that will advance your career, things that will force you to update your resume. Oh, I love it. I love it. I love it. Ask. And man, if you are asking people who can supply, who can make this happen, the person who can put his or her John Hancock down and whoop whoop, you are certified, signed up for training starting on July 3rd. Person who can make that happen, the person, promotion, RIP, we got it. Or raise, all right, we got it. The person who can make that happen, if they don't want to do it, why not? Detail. But yeah, I love it. Take advantage, ask questions. That is so jarring. Like, to be, imagine that, be in a workplace situation and not, you know, I took a holiday to go hang out in the Bahamas, you know, do my thing for a little while, go do some skiing in Aspen for a bit. No, I took mental health days because of depression and white supremacy racism and the Rona, add that too. Under those circumstances, I'm called out of the blue. Oh, yes. By the way, you're not going to be paid for this week. I hope you are feeling great and your mental health is outstanding. Toodles. Like, do what? Set up to fail, like, all the time in the system of white supremacy. That is what, around pay, all of that. Set up to fail. Her son, man, offspring sometimes are doing it big. He has been super helpful in coming in to get her out of the house and then figure out, oh, wait a minute, can call. And Justin, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and the good folks up here in the Canadian government, they have got a few safety nets for us. Let's fill out a few paperwork and got it early. Not sitting around twiddling her thumbs, got it early. That's spectacular. I'm glad to have some good news. That's awesome. But that's so trifling. Like, I don't want to minimize that. That is so trifling. I mean, in a world where, in a year where it's been lots of trifling and tacky antics, like, wow, that is so, I mean, it could have been way worse than trifling, but, like, disastrous. Like, man. System of white supremacy. I'm glad to hear you are doing better. No thanks to the folks on your job, but I'm glad to hear you're doing a little bit better this week. I hope it, you know, it's kind of like a exponential growth type thing where, you know, this time next week you'll be even better. Like, phew, moving forward and, yeah, back on working on the exit strategy to get the heck out of there. Let's see. I'll get in one more email real quick so I can make sure I get all those in. UntilJustice@gmail.com. UntilJustice@gmail.com. All right. Victim of racism, black female caller. She writes, I think I'm finally able to understand that tackiness, besides racism, is their culture. My work from home job had another meeting after work hours and nothing was clarified. They purposely dodged questions. The meetings are done on Microsoft Teams so that the chat room is filled with employees posting memes and making not funny jokes during the, Floyd 19. I know not. And didn't I say this? Somebody posted something about the Zoom conferences and I said, that's all we did for 2020. What are the patterns that I've seen for 2020? White people and guns. That is a enormous one since March, since all this started with the Rona. White people, just large numbers, growing numbers, where this is not even, you know, unusual anymore. White people out in the street with guns for any reason. Mad about the Rona. Mad about face masks. Mad about the protesters. Mad about anything. Out in the street with guns. Maybe in large, in all kinds of guns. Assault rifles, you name it. That's one. Zoom misconduct, writing swastikas and penises. I just wrote that today. That's what we did. That's what we did for 2020. Swastikas and penis on the Zoom conference. Didn't read any books. Didn't go crazy on Netflix. I guess they did some binge drinking. They did report that. But the big thing, man, I got on Zoom. Those niggers tried to have a meeting and I put about 50 penises up there. Then I got a few swastikas and Floyd 19 jokes. I think I am finally able to understand that tackiness, besides racism, is their culture. Look at Zoom. Continuing. Now, this is blatant. When you go into the workplace system, there are reviews and awards being given to the same three people on the same day. They are looking for a promotion so they don't have to work and just drink wine all day. But these side chats where they get together to help each other out is pretty obvious. I did notice a black woman in there giving praise to a white female, but none of the white females gave any rewards or trophies to the black. That's not funny, but wow. I mean, she did say it was blatant. But they gave no rewards or trophies to the black woman. No rewards or trophies to the black woman. She said it was flagrant. And I think we've heard a number of patterns of this on people who've been on different type of teleconferences and what have you. And they said, you know, a black person, their face was up and the people were making jokes about the person or jokes about their hair or jokes about their background. And that's what Floyd 19, like I said, that has been rampant, in addition to all the penises and swastikas, too. But, I mean, continuing, I started another work-from-home job as a contact tracer for the virus in the biggest hotspot. As far as what I am seeing is that many black people are getting infected due to the nature of their occupations, but everyone I spoke to had no symptoms. I just need to pause right there. That's one of the things I've said consistently, where people, the folks who think there's no virus and all the rest of it, just the work aspect alone would be enough, because that's something they've reported worldwide. Black people having those type of jobs, and just from the people who've called in, even if I didn't have those reports, just from listening to the folks who call in and write in, man, it seems like a whole lot of black people, they are not hanging out at home writing penises on Zoom conference. They are at work, whatever it is. If they're, you know, doing drives, deliveries, essential, so-called essential workers, disposable workers, one of our listeners said, they're out at the job. I know we have had some folks who, you know, been at home. They've had great codification for being home and all that. But I mean, a lot. I think most of the folks who've been calling in and such, they have had to, you know, continue to go into the office or wherever their, you know, work location is. That is enormous in terms of what they've been reporting about this virus all around the world. Number of folks participating on this call that are not in the U.S. could, you know, speak up if Gus is talking nonsense. Continuing, had no symptoms. That was what she said. Infected because of the nature of their work and had no symptoms. I still have to do more research as I just started, but I do believe my suspicions will be confirmed after a while. As far as workplace racism goes, the only thing I notice here is the clear racial hierarchy as to who holds what positions. The upper management is white. Middle are white people who speak Spanish. She didn't say Latino, she didn't say Latinx, Latinx, she didn't say Latinas, she didn't say Hispanics, Latin speaking. She said white people who speak Spanish. Hit me in the heart. Love it, love it, love it. The community specialists are older white women and the contract tracers are non-white people and black people. Nobody really knows what they are doing, but every time I ask the supervisor something, he will say one thing, but the next day the rules will be revised to reflect what I asked. You don't even have to be competent. You don't even have to know the rules or anything, give out constructive information. And he might be purposely giving you incorrect information. That happens a lot, you know, that happens a lot in the system of white supremacy, workplace and beyond, where white people deliberately just give us false information and, you know, try to mislead us. Dana R. Carney, didn't I just post it? Dana R. Carney, that happens a lot. So he might be doing that deliberately. He might have already got the email about what the new policy is going to be. Oh, okay. And then you go and send him the email. Oh, what is that? Oh, yeah. You know, do such and such and tell the exact opposite and then crack up laughing. Like, I love it. I love it. Floyd 19. I think I'm finally able to understand that tackiness, besides racism, is their culture. Mr. Fuller, he said, it doesn't get any better than tacky. Yeah. Context of white supremacy. This is neutralizing workplace racism. The number is 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. If you can't dial in or, you know, are concerned, the email is untiljustice@gmail.com. Untiljustice@gmail.com. We can share anonymously all that. If you have suggestions or if you have your own predicament that you would like us to try to share logic, try to help solve problems without creating new problems, we will try our best to do so. Let's see. Other folks with us, if you have commentary to share, if we missed you totally, feel free.
May I be heard?
Caller in Florida, yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, sir. Greetings to guests, the hosts, the listeners, and callers. I have a list of incidents I'd like to share really quick. My first is I'll begin with, I think you were mentioning earlier, no, I think, well, maybe that was the Mr. Fuller sound clip about making the comparisons. When, because I only worked 2 days this week, so toward the end of the day, there was a little meeting going on with the supervisor and one of the two new white employees. And this person, I believe, started in close to the end of December, going on into the new year. And I believe it looks like he was just doing his review to be taken off of probation. And so he comes out. So I give the supervisor the receipt for going to the post office. And he said, yeah, looks like I got the job. Looks like they ain't going to fire me. I said, okay, all right, that's good. Well, so kept it short. Then I turned and went to the desk. And what do you know? A click member, she submits a comment, and she says, how you going to get fired on your day off? All right, so many people may know where that line is from. A movie with black cast members. So I jot that one down because I'm thinking, dang, this guy's at work. He's not even off of work or away from the job, but you still had to say that comment. Now, that may have had something to do with me being around, but I didn't even respond, so... My next to add to this comparison is that in another department, there's a black male that started there last year, and he's been working there like 3 or 4 months before the white guy. So, I mean, this is blatantly obvious that it's racism. So I'm hearing that the supervisor was saying to him that, oh, well, the reason why you haven't been taken off of probation is because of the pandemic. Yeah, but the supervisor in the area that I'm in was able to take the white person off. All right, so definitely racism being practiced right there. So I'm guessing this person is going to go talk to one of the people in charge. I suggest that the person don't go talk to the black person. I think we'll talk to the white person because he doesn't have any power like that in my observation or opinion or whatever. My third one is there was a time about maybe 2 days ago, yeah, on Wednesday, I was sent a text message about having to come in to work possibly, you know, because someone called in. All right. And I guess the other person, you know, child was sick or whatever. And I got a real early text in the morning. So I waited to respond. So as I waited, she sent the second one saying, oh, well, you know, I tried to contact another person. She, you know, said another employee name, and she is unable to find a babysitter. And I respond, and I said, good morning. I'm unable to come in. I'm about to go out of town. So, and I ended it with two questions. I said, who scheduled to come in today, number one? Number two, isn't blank coming in? Isn't she scheduled? I don't get an immediate response. She responded about maybe 30 minutes to 45 minutes later. And she says, well, yeah, she's coming in, but she has to cover the marriages or whatever. But she didn't answer that question of how many, who all is coming in. So that right there alone let me know that it was more people coming in than she made it seem, or it's enough people coming in that can facilitate the jobs that I do. All right. So she said, well, I'll see if I can work out these three names and see if they can cover the front with the phone, with the phones. So just by asking the question, she was like, oh, all right, see you next week. That's it. Just asking two questions, not just one, two of them. It was a double hit, like a double whammy. All right. So just by doing that, she ended up saying, see you next week. My number four is, racist terrorism. I came in on Tuesday morning and I was putting the lunch bag that I have through the security machine where it has technology to see if, you know, whatever you have in your bag or whatever. So I put it through the machine and I'm about to get it off of the belt. And this race soldier, he says, oh, you know, you can't bring that gun in here. And he was, you know, giggling or whatever. So I looked him in his eye, all right, and I took, because I had my mask on or whatever, so I took the bag off of the belt. And then I went upstairs, and I went to the supervisor, the first one. And it was full of people, and I said, I want to make a report. I said, somebody just accused me of having a gun and said, don't bring that gun in here. So she kind of just shook her head. And then the response she gave me, she said, was it the white guy? Was it the white guy with the white shirt on? She already knew who it was. So I said, yeah, that's him. And she says, you know, well, I'm sorry to hear that. So I'm going to send a report to the chief deputy or whatever. So I said, is Blaine coming in? I went over her head. Like, is he coming in today? So
are you still there, caller in Florida?
Is gonna be.
Your volume went out for a little while.
On which part?
When you said you went over her head, you were asking if Blank is there today, and then your volume dropped out.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. We can hear you clear now.
Yes, sir. I was saying that I was going to go above her, over her head, and ask for the main clerk to speak to him because, you know, I don't really talk to her, the warden or whatever. So she sends me an email saying that she said good morning, and then she says that he is going to be in today. And I apologize for, she used the word unnecessary comments. All right. And so I respond and I say, thanks for the follow up. And I said, this is to be expected, and these type of flagrant acts support racism. And it was a short sentence, and that was the way that I worded it. So I didn't get a response after that one. So the guy, the main person, he walks through and he says, oh, hey, how's it going this morning, sir? I said, you know, I had a rough morning. I had a rough morning. So he's like, oh, so you bounce a bat right now? I said, I'm trying to get this work done, but I just wanted to, you know, run something by you. And he said, so what's going on? I said, I had somebody make a comment to me this morning, and I was putting my bag on the conveyor belt, and this guy accused me of having a gun. He said, don't bring that gun in here, with a smirk on his face. And then, like, his face just dropped. Like, he just looked to the ground like, my goodness. So he said, thanks for letting me know, and we're going to be getting on him again, you know, whatever that means. So I didn't see the person for the rest of the day. I don't know what happened to him. So he apparently works with the same sergeant that I mentioned about the same. All right. So she came back and talked to me again, that saying that she did end up reporting it. So I don't know if they were going to get in contact with anyone else or not, but that happened on Tuesday. And I have one more. There was a Facebook post that I want to read by one of the CLIC members, and it says, "Can we stop judging by race and start realizing it's a class thing? I know some black folks I would put my whole life on the line for. I also know some white folks that I wouldn't think about saving." There, I said it. That was the post. Now, I read that, like, that don't make any sense, because you can guarantee that this person is around white people most of the time. All right? And then when she brought the white baby into the courthouse, the baby scrunched up his face at the black people that was around. So, and one last thing, I'll be on my 9th year as of tomorrow, so that'll be 9 years at the courthouse. And I've been calling this show for 7 of the 9, so that's all I have. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Wow. That is, what? Racist generally do not intend, what they told President, they didn't even intend to have President Obama get 8 years, right? They said that a lot of them at the beginning, like one term president, we will give you 4, and we're kind of upset about that. That's what our current president, one term, let's get him out of here. He's not even a citizen, man. And Kenyans over here messing up things. But congratulations, 9 years. Man, I hope you get as many more as you like, as long as it's comfy and, you know, you are satisfied and such. As many more as you like to have, and hopefully with lots and lots and lots of promotions along the way. COVID 31? Wasn't that the fella there? He said, "We got COVID 31 in the corner here. We got COVID 47 right there." Wasn't that? That was you, yeah?
Yes, sir. He said COVID 27, COVID 31. Oh, her COVID is worse than yours, so don't feel bad.
We got Floyd 19. We got COVID 31. I mean, racist jokes, joking about the Rona. I mean, that's what I said, 2020. That's what we did in 2020. White people toted and bought guns. We made racist jokes on Zoom and then came into work. And COVID 31, Floyd 19, that was how we spent 2020. Ridiculing black people for wearing face masks. That's how we spent 2020. Let's see. The fired on your day off. What does that idiot say? He says, "White people cannot be ignorant about racism." And that, we got an extra double whammy, because that means, and I have known a whole lot of white people, they love them some Friday. I mean, wow, I have known lots. And I mean, white people love black entertainment. They cannot miss a coon flick. I mean, we had a Klansman on the program, Johnny Lee Clary, in 2009. He said he loved Sherman Helmsley. He used to love the Jeffersons. Would have his Klan hood and everything and put it down. Oh, Wheezy, she is a hoot. System of white supremacy. So, no, I'm not surprised, click member or no, that I know every line of Friday. Oh, Chris Tucker is my favorite in the world. I love Ice Cube. That's number one. The two of that, that's why we got the double whammy. The two of that is, oh, yeah, that sort of thing, because there's been so much of that where you'll be at work. Again, this is the courthouse, right? Supposed to be kind of serious somewhat, I guess. We're at the courthouse, and for her to make a comment like that, you're just strolling through, you're there. Would she say that if it was just white people? If the warden was there in place, it was just them, would that have been the time for her to bring up, "How you going to get fired on your day off?" Really? And like I said, it's been a lot of those where they will bust out with their whatever they think is the new ghetto slang and popping and bringing you. And it's always something tacky. Exactly. It's always something tacky and trashy that's going to be the reference in how they associate to black people. So, yeah, I totally think it's white supremacy, racism, and even that comment being made, and because you were present. If you had not been present, I seriously doubt she would have said that. Let's see. Incidentally, speaking of Friday, Ice Cube was just online talking about the protests in Seattle. He was telling them that they should get a broom and clean up things. He said, you should get a broom and clean up so it doesn't look like a war zone. And I chuckled because I was just down there and I said it looked like a war zone. I was terrified. But anywho, Ice Cube, victim of racism. Next, let's see. Asking questions. That is Hall of Fame. Asking questions. You do not have to get upset if you can just keep your composure. It can go a long way. Keep your composure and think of what are the best questions to ask. White, that's a huge thing we've had on workplace racism over the years. White people doing things to try to pass their work off onto black people, being super lazy. We've had so many people write in and call in about that, being lazy, shiftless racists. They come in and find a way, I can push more of my work off on this. I got penises to draw. I don't want to do all this work. I get this nigger to do it. Can you come and stay? Can you come and work? We need a little. And just questions. How many folks are working? It's, you know what? I think we got it covered because, you know, she is actually going to be coming in this evening and ask who is scheduled to work. Yes. Kim is actually Scott. We're good. Ask questions. I hate him. All you have to do is ask questions sometimes and things can take care of themselves quickly. Didn't have to say, I don't want to work. Y'all don't pay me enough. I got things. Just ask two questions. Boop. Everything is done. Spectacular. Let's see. the gun situation in this context. You got the president. He's upset. Law and order. I'm upset. You got looters. Looters turned to shooters. Right? Just said he's super upset about Seattle. Man. In this context, why is that funny? Why is that a joke to be accusing you of coming in? Are you an active shooter? All the active shooter nonsense that we had before the Rona and everything else, why would that be something to joke about? In fact, the first thing I thought of was Gavin DeBecker. That book is not in my top 10, but wow, I reference it a lot on workplace racism. We did read it. Several listeners suggested that we read it, so I guess, you know, they were right. They knew what they were talking about. Man, he talks about that exact sort of thing. People making inappropriate comments and all comments about firearms and guns, unless that's a part of your job, like you're an enforcement officer or something, where you or security or something, you work at a firearms store where that's a part of what you do. All of that is inappropriate for the workplace, particularly in this environment. Why would I be joking about it? I'm gonna make it funny. He's bringing in, you know, his water bottle and a salad, and I'm going to joke and say that that's a 9mm. Why am I doing that? What's funny about that? In any context, really, but what's funny about that? In the courthouse, again, we're not at a brothel. We're not at the casino in Vegas. We're at the courthouse. Why is that something that's appropriate for that work environment? Where you do have armed bailiffs and such often. I don't know if they do at that courthouse, but that's often the case. And compile that with what he said before. He brought it up, but I had already wrote it down to bring up. Like, man, they had just said, oh, I got my shank. I'm ready for you. I am threatened with violence in this workplace. That just happened weeks ago. Didn't even get a resolution on it. We had someone who's talking about shanking me. Now you're saying I'm sneaking a gun in. Dangerous nigger here. Love it. You don't curse him out. Cracker, what did you say? Which might get you shot. Me, they might, for real, somebody might have heard that. Oh my God, we got a nigger with a gun. Get him. You don't do all that. You stay calm. Take a few breaths. I'm going to make a report, not a grievance. I don't have a gripe. I don't have a complaint. I am not a child. I have a report of misconduct. White people, okay, say it one more time, white people are not ignorant about racism. That is totally impossible. All that lets you know how much nonsense you got right now. How many times are you hearing that white people don't understand and they're finally waking up? White people cannot be ignorant about racism. And the only real piece of evidence that you need about that, white people know white people. They know white mom and white dad and white grandpa and their white relatives and their white neighbors and their white coworkers. Now, you go in to report something that should be anomalous. Who's joking about a firearm in this context? You go in to make a report. I was accused of bringing in a firearm to the workplace. Oh, God. Was it? Oh, God. I know. She's not confused. She's not, oh, I don't know. Let me think. Can you tell me? Oh, God. Ted, again? I thought I heard.
She knew what I was talking about.
She's not ignorant. They're not ignorant about racism, white supremacy. And I thought I heard the word again. We'll go. Oh, that was the other fellow.
Again.
We'll go right. Talk to him. What they call that? They call that recidivism. That's what they use in the court context when they're giving us 40 years and all the rest of recidivism. You're recidivist. Repeat offender. 50 years. So he's a repeat offender. What are the consequences for this sort of behavior in a courthouse? That is why. That right there. You got a shank. You're sneaking in a fire, that right there. And then when you report the activity, oh, yes, we'll go and talk to him again. Yes, hopefully he won't do it tomorrow. That right there is system of white supremacy racism. Nobody is ignorant about it, even when you told the other fella. He's not ignorant. Oh, my God. Yeah, we've had to talk to him about this before. Yep, that's what Bob does. Yep. Mm-hmm. There's no talk of getting rid of Bob. Apparently he can do all this and it's, we got more sensitivity training or whatever it is. Florida courthouse. Let's see. Wearing the mask. Spectacular. Love it. Love it. Love it. Let's see. When you went to report this here fella, for making the extraordinarily inappropriate commentary, and you ask if the supervisor is present, I'm going to go talk to this person. And the white woman, oh, he's at lunch. You know, I'll make a report of it. You say, oh, so he's coming back later on. Oh, yes. And she's not ignorant. I'm trying to see if I can diffuse it. Maybe I can stop this from going all the way. I can just tell him I'll make a report. Maybe I get around to it. Maybe I don't. And we'll stop it right here. Oh, you're going. Oh, okay, man. Trump. Yep. Sorry. I even said, yep, he'll be back at 2. Mm-hmm. White people are not ignorant about racism. And this is the same courthouse, just pattern of behavior. So he was threatened. They were going to shank him. They accused him. You're going to break the door. Did you break the door coming in? This sort of thing all the time. Let's see. And then he had the white one. Then the white woman that made the post that said she knows white people, that she doesn't care if they die from the Rona or what happens to them. And then she knows black people that, you know, she'll lay down her life for her whole life. Is this the same white woman who made the post about, you know, you're not going to make me wear a mask and the Nazi? Is this the same white woman?
The same one.
Same one. Wow. Well,
and have black people clicking on it.
I hope they look back, scroll
deception.
Back. Master deceivers. I hope they click back through her social media feed and take a closer look at some of her posts and images. And even how many black people. I mean, because I'm sure she's got family and friend pics of her, you know, out and about horsing around in Florida. So does it look like she hangs out with black people that she would give her whole life for? Because I don't think you're on the list at the courthouse. I think that's, those days have passed. But yeah, is she hanging out with some her black homies and friends and, you know, doing fun things in the Sunshine State? These are some of the folks that she would give her whole life for. Is it just her? You're not going to make me wear a mask. And with this,
I haven't seen that. I've only seen her as being around white people.
She was the same one that was talking about, you protect your family the way you want, I'll protect mine the way I want, and she had her firearm. Is this the same one?
That's the same one too.
Well, I said for the year, white people with guns. I didn't say white men. I just said white people with guns. This sounds like this would be one. She would exactly be one. That's exactly who's been out in the streets the whole time. The Rona is a lie. You're not going to make me stay at home. You're not going to tell me what to do. I got my assault right the entire time. The threat of the president. That's her. That's her right there. Get out of here. That would be.
And that's MAGA too. MAGA, MAGA.
Oh, that's FOMO years. That's all you need to know. FOMO years. FOMO years. He got Florida rap. I don't think there was a question about that. They having the convention got moved to Florida. That's a done deal. She's probably going to the convention. She is probably elated. She'll be excited for the whole month. Go get to see President Trump 4 more years. Woo! Context of white supremacy. I'm telling you, get a PhD study in white supremacy at the courthouse. Man, you can learn it all. Most importantly, white people are not ignorant about racism. None of them. Wow. Got a boatload this week. Much obliged, sir. Wow. The number is 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Getting in our emails, not for spectators, but getting in our emails as we chug along as well. Let's see. All right, this is our female caller in Georgia, right? She's called in. They were having the fireside chats. She called in last week, sorry, right? Fireside chat. This is one of the workplaces that we care about the Negro. Negro lives matter. We're going to have a talk. Fireside chat, they called it. We're going to have a fireside chat, and they had a big public statement about racism, and we listen, and we're going to, you know, take this serious. All right, so she writes in, I hope everyone is having the best day they can under the system of white supremacy. Write poorly. I listened to the fireside chat that I spoke about last week. No, I was not able to ask questions. I guess you were just supposed to email the CEO whenever. I am only a seasonal employee. My bad. Not your fault. There was a black female consultant, Desiree Attaway, who moderated the video session. Get those coins, black lady. Indeed. Also, the CEO, white guy that looks like a skinnier version of comedian Russell Peters, head of HR, white lady, and the head of the consumer division, black male, were in the session for a total of 4 people. The CEO said a few things, then let the consultant moderate. She excused black people from attending the session, understanding the mental health impact this could have on us. By the way, did you do anything special for Mental Health Month in May? I miss stuff from time to time. Not explicitly, I don't think, other than we have talked about it a little more. We should do that. Continuing, she asked how the executives were feeling. CEO shared what happened after email was sent out. I read that email last week. Okay. He received feedback from black employees about their work and life racist experiences. That is exactly what I've said we should not be doing. This is not the time I want to sit and tell you about the time I was called a nigger, even if it happened on this job. This is not the time, generally speaking. Continuing, he never understood... Ignorant white man. He never understood the burden of black employees until he received the feedback. Similar response from white human resource lady. She couldn't believe that she did not know about these types of things over the years. I can estimate that all these individuals were at least in their 50s. Especially since 2 of them explicitly stated their age. So that would mean 19 born in 1970. Live, that means they would have been an adult, not a child. They would have been a functional adult when, like, Rodney King happened and a whole lot of things. O.J. Simpson. The division head, black male, shared vague trauma stories, but no specific details. The black male expressed sentiments he received from black employees. He called them brothers and sisters and said that sharing helps. pause 1 second just for Gus's own amusement. Brothers and sisters, my goodness. Let's see.
Black brother, hell.
Indeed. Said sharing things helped. The white people admitted to making mistakes. See, that implies like that you, all of that suggests there's nothing deliberate about this. All of this is still going back to, oh, this was ignorant. Oh, this was an accident. I didn't mean to call you a Negro. We didn't mean to not give you that promotion all 16 times. Like, that's what all of this is suggesting, right? Mistakes. These were mistakes, and we didn't know. The white people admitted to making mistakes and that more mistakes may be made in dealing with the issue. They admitted to assuming that their black friends who worked at the company would automatically want to help. Black friends? What? I don't, and she has that in quotes. I don't know what they learned from that, though. The moderator said that allies should apologize for real mistakes and that change should be transformational and not transactional. Don't know what that means. A trashy incident. Uh-oh. The CEO admitted that he made a mistake in assuming the black male would automatically want to help deal with the issue. He sent a text apologizing and assumed the non-reply from the black male meant he was forgiven. He said to the black male during the session, "I know you better than you." That's what I've been saying. I'm not ignorant about racism, white supremacy. I know you better than you know yourself. I study the Negro. That's what Clive Bundy said. Let me read that one more time. He said to the black male during the session, "I know you better than you." Pause for involuntary spit take, eye rolling, vomiting, etc. I made sure to write that down. I am still deciding whether to report on the ethics hotline. The moderator asked, "What were the next steps?" The white people said that they need to learn. The company's diversity and inclusion team has created a new team of black employees to tell the company what to do to help black people at the company. The plan should be ready in 8 weeks, not 2,000 years. I might be gone by then, so I might not find out what the plan is. Darn. One of the longest hours of my life. I'm not surprised. It wasn't necessary to share this type of info with you all. I would have passed on this. These Fortune 500 CEOs are, to me, the white thought leaders, and we need to know what they are thinking, saying, and doing. Indeed, they did not even bring up the 2-to-1 matching for social justice organizations that was mentioned in another email. That's investments and what have you. If whatever we donate, the company matches it or does even 2-to-1 to really, you know, put some force behind it. Also, there was no mention of how to give feedback for the session. The company that pays bonuses based on surveys and sends out almost a survey per week and had sessions where you could complain about the company. If you have more questions during the program tonight, let me know. I'll be listening. Stay safe and keep up your healthy eating. That is all of us. Healthy eating, healthy eating. I had a smoothie today. It was spectacular. They all are, generally speaking. But that's about what I thought. She said the longest hour of her life. That's about what I thought. Starbucks, when they did this, I think that was 2015, right? Freddie Gray? It's 2015 they did this. I've never seen where they've done it. They've done it. I've been on jobs where they've done this, and I said that then, and I didn't even have an understanding of white supremacy racism at all, or very little. This is standard operating procedure because individuals classified as white are not serious about solving this problem. So their efforts are very hypocritical and they're not effective. They're not serious. So it's going to be a lot of this. They might give a good presentation. They might hire some black people. If you are a black person and you can be hired for one of these jobs, take it. No hesitation, no thought. It shouldn't even be, you know, a question. Take the job, but don't go into it thinking like, oh yeah, these folks are all about solving this problem and we're going to be see what you can learn. If you can do some things that are helpful to non-white people, great. But I mean, hey, none of this is about really solving this problem. If I'm wrong, at minimum, there should be a concession. Well, I can understand why he would have that type of thinking, given the system of white supremacy. I can understand that, and we're going to prove him wrong. That's all it would be. We're going to go about the business of producing justice and prove him wrong, and that'll benefit him, so then he can stop saying that. But until then, yeah, take the job, but you don't have any thought that, yeah, this is going to solve any problems or anything. And if you have to go to one of these sessions, if you're going to be compensated, this is a part of your work day. So what I've been saying, you know, I'm not here with expectations that this is going to do anything. If anything, if we can get questions in and about specific ways of improving things for me on the job, if that's more coins, promotion, training, anything, let's get on that immediately. I'm not here to tell you about how many times I was called a coon or anything else. Much obliged, female caller in Georgia. Stay safe down there. Governor Kemp, whew, 4 more years. That's another easy one. 4 more years. The number again, 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. While folks are getting,
may I be heard?
I was just going to see our caller in Norway give our time stamp. Oof, it's working in my brain. So it's 4:13 a.m. in Norway. Oof. Yes, sir. Did you have commentary?
Yes. I was listening to what you said about sometime earlier where you mentioned that there are lots of people putting penises on chat groups, and of course you have lots of white people going out with their guns, and it reflects, I'm studying the ISIS papers, as I mentioned, in chapter 8, guns as symbols. Well, first of all, Dr. Welton states that the system of white supremacy is there to, its ultimate goal is to make sure that white genetic survival is maintained.
Kamau, I did want to make sure, I'm going to let you finish that, but this broadcast is specifically focused on workplace racism. This is not like a general purpose where people just get to talk about any type of thing. I just try to do that because a lot of times people end up deviating to all kinds of things that are not what this broadcast is focused on. So that is what we try to keep the focus on for this program. For the one next week, all that, absolutely. Let's hear Dr. Welsing if you want to give your analysis and all that. Feel free to finish. For sure, we'll hear the rest of it. Feel free to finish. But that is what our focus is specifically on for this program.
Thank you. I'm like half asleep, so I might have lost a bit of focus there. I apologize for that. All right. My thought is that the system is maintained to give them benefits and make them feel better. The corona situation makes them feel more vulnerable, and so they are subconsciously referring to symbols and things that have historically helped them to feel, to compensate for how they're feeling. So a lot of this behavior that white people are doing on the job, and I reflected about what I've been experiencing the past 2 months, it's more understandable now that this is just some of the psychological foundation of white supremacy playing itself out. So that helps me to feel less bad about it and be more understanding. That's what the commentary I was trying to make.
For sure. If the passage is short, if it's not too long, if you want to go ahead and share, I definitely appreciate folks, you specifically, being in here. So I don't even know. The sun is almost up. So early, so late, however you process it at that hour to share with us. So, yeah, if you want to go ahead and share, as long as it's not too lengthy, feel free.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, that was all I had to say, but I can read a sentence or two from Dr. Wilson. The gun became not only the weapon that developed technology to ensure white genetic survival, it also became the symbolic white penis. The gun is the all-desired phallus of the white male, which he conceives of being an equalizer to the phallus of black and other non-white males. That's it.
The ISIS papers, keys to the colors. I just played Dr. Welsing's broadcast from 2014 in the middle of the protests and what have you around Michael Brown Jr. and the Ferguson situation. The grandsister, Dr. Welsing, definitely lots of constructive information to help us grasp what is happening. Logical responses, things to do. I think she would certainly encourage, hey, stay in, stay safe, study the system of racism, white supremacy, so that we can figure out a way to permanently solve this problem. That's our cosmic assignment, really. I think that's what she'd be saying. Try to stay safe, stay healthy, so that we can help contribute to solving this problem permanently. The grandsister. Let's see. Other folks, if you have commentary to share, suggestions, star 6-1. See, folks are still kind of spectating. Tad, if you have thoughts to share, feel free. We should be here tomorrow for the compensatory call in 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. We'll catch up on, wow, what has been, I don't know what to say. It's been a confusing and chaotic week on the system of white supremacy. They all are, but this week even more so than normal. We'll try to process some. Wouldn't even be possible to go through everything that has taken place over the past week or so. Even right here in Seattle, it has been downright absurd what has taken place, drawing the president's ire, as I said before. It's been amazing, but we'll try to process. That'll be tomorrow, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Our Global Sunday Talk on Racism will be a week from this Sunday. I'm so looking forward to having folks from around the globe. Hopefully we can have Kamau back with us in Norway and some of our folks in the UK and other spots to kind of assess what is happening. COVID-19 situation, the protests that are happening. They're doing the silliness, pulling down statues in lots of different parts of the globe. Will be, I think, super constructive to be able to check in next Sunday, much earlier time. It'll be 9 p.m. Norway time for those of us in the States. It'll be 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 noon Pacific, Global Sunday Talk on Racism. Looking forward to that for June. That'll be right, I think, right at the equinox, too, like right so-called beginning of summer. So it'll be a great way to start the new season, checking in with non-white people in different spots of the planet. Let's see. Other folks, are folks just listening? Let's see. Retired firefighter, commentary to share. Line should be open, should be with us.
Greetings, Gus. Greetings to everyone. Heard the caller from Florida's report. And if he keeps that up, he will make another 21 years, if that's the retirement part. Yeah, Gus, the 101st and 82nd Airborne is coming to Seattle. Anyway, my report is someone contacted me about they received, I don't know what it's called in modern days time on your phone, but it's a report suggesting that all of the people on the text suggesting that they observe this YouTube-like program, this fellow employee text to others. He is a white male administrator sending to other administrators. This one administrator happened to be a non-white black person. And the person asked me on what I thought about it. Based on the title, I said, well, it's something along the lines of what a white person would call a conservative would be interested in, just based on the title in itself. And that was somewhat exactly what it was about. This white person has a reputation for acts of racism on the job, so it's not surprising. My suggestion was for that non-white person to file it and then bring it up in their first meeting of that week or however often. You know, on every job they have meetings. On the job that I was on, they call it battalion meetings, that would be held at, once every bi-weekly. They would do it, but I don't know how often, but everybody on everybody's job, it has something of that nature. And put it in the term of a question by stating the particular report and say, is this something that goes along with the rules and regulations of the job? Just put it in terms of a question in front of everybody, including that person who sent it, and let them have to answer the question. Before that, something like that took place, a person that's in charge, I would figure over just about everybody who got that text, basically, I was told that they handled the problem. But a few minutes later, basically what it was going down to was the only thing they're going to do with that particular employee is to give them some sort of a warning, that sort of thing. Although the person has a, from my understanding, a long history of such behavior, which is atypical of white people on jobs. Anything that is regard as far as what not to do, and that's included in rules and regulations. It has in fine print, not meant for me as a white person in a lot of cases, because they know at worst, that the only thing that would take place is they would get some superficial level of counseling. But then again, you know, in a time like this, with the system of racism, white supremacy in a lot of places is refining their interaction. It might be a time where with some white people that they would basically utilize the system of racism, white supremacy would utilize them as sacrifices. They may sacrifice that white person. I don't think so in this particular case, but it probably is happening in the people activity of employment in a lot of places due to what I'm seeing globally as far as the reaction to the behavior that is going on now. They feel that it's necessary now to deceive non-white victims of racism, white supremacy, by showing that they can, quote-unquote, punish a small percentage of white people in the people activity of employment. And that's my report. Thank you.
Lodge, retired firefighter, giving the appearance. They are really slick about that, giving the appearance that they're serious about addressing this problem. And oh man, we're not going to stand for this anymore. Billy is going to get in trouble. Oh yeah, he's going to be fired. What, Mr. Fuller? White people don't get fired; they get transferred. Super important, right, to keep that in mind. I'm not aware of too many races, like even Donald Sterling. Like they did all. I think they got a documentary film coming out about the 2014 NBA season. That was when the whole Donald Sterling thing came out, and I think it's an ESPN documentary, in fact. But anyway, they're supposed to talk with, and I mean, I guess that's all workplace racism, right? Like they talked to some of the Clippers players, the basketball team that he owned, and they were talking about they were going to do a boycott and all this and trying to figure out, you know, best way to proceed. And he said they ultimately didn't, or obviously they ultimately didn't, but it was seriously discussed. I didn't know that they seriously talked about, you know, not playing and forfeiting a game or all the games or whatever it is. Like they seriously talked about it and just decided not to do it. And I guess some of the players said that this seems to be a point of regret. Like they wish they had done this after the Donald Sterling tapes came out. This is like the team Blake Griffin was on, Chris Paul, all of those guys. But anyway, that night was, this is supposed to be a documentary coming about all this soon. Anyway, Donald Sterling, when they made him leave, he got his like $2 billion. They didn't, you know, just send him off in a corner someplace like it. I'm generally not aware of white people getting like punished in any serious way for practicing racism. Like they might, you know, you're not going to be talked about as cool. Even Don Imus got rehired. Like Don Imus didn't leave after he said those nasty, foul, racist comments about the black females at Rutgers. He, oh man, sorry. Briefly lost his radio job, and then he got transferred and got on television. He went from radio to television, got picked up by Fox, and they said, I think, like, he and his wife, they have, like, cookbooks and other literature, publishing and such, and they said he got a big spike in sales. You know, white people, they look out. That's the system of racism worldwide, so it might look like some of these white people there, tough time, getting in trouble, shouldn't have said that. Floyd 19, shouldn't have said that. Fellas up in Charlotte, you know, shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have wrote that email. Might be bad for a couple days, if that. But, you know, you're classified as white. Things will be fine. No need to worry. Even Darren Wilson, race soldier who killed Michael Brown Jr. Never worked again with the Ferguson Police Department. His GoFundMe was overflowing. No problem. System of white supremacy is a pretty massive safety net for other white people. Let's see. Other folks who are with us, or folks that have a hand up, if you have commentary to share. I actually saw that today. I was looking at the news, and they were talking about the possible return of the NBA season. And they said that it might come back next month in Florida, no less. Might do it all at Disney World, they said. And they were talking, and they said they were rumors, reports. You know, they didn't want to directly name names, but they say there were reports that some of the players didn't want to play. And I said, oh, is it because of, you know, COVID-19? They don't want to get sick and all that, and logistics trying to get all that, which is what I thought it was. And they said, no. It's because of all of the unrest about racism. They don't know if, you know, it sends the right message with all of this that's happening right now. Maybe we shouldn't be playing. Said, wow, that's amazing. And that's when the protest thing came up. It pivoted from that. And they said, now, 2014, we had a chance. We could have boycotted, and we didn't do it. And he said, we had a chance to do it over again. We would not do the same thing. And I was stunned to even hear such a thing. So I don't know how that will be something that, I mean, that would certainly be workplace racism if you end up having athletes who say, no, we are not going to play, and it's because of racism, that there are things more important than athletics and white ball games. Dr. Welsing talked about that a lot. Wow. Black self-respect and everything, but long way to go. But I did see that today. I thought about playing. That would have been a workplace racism clip on any other day, because I said, wow, that's really significant. But I already had like 20, it's lots of things to play, but that did happen today. I was, I won't say stunned, but it was quite surprising. Something I would say keep an eye on, see what happens. This NBA, I guess, is not supposed to start up until next month, so a lot could happen over the next 30 days, 2-3 weeks or so, but I did see that today. Let's see. Other folks, and even connected with that, I can add, just briefly, because we did talk about it, the school component. I had heard, it sounded similar to myself, they were talking about some of the universities allowing some of the athletes back for some of the training programs, and there was concern like, oh, wait a minute, we shouldn't be doing this. How much concern do they really have for these athletes, many of them black, for the football programs and basketball programs? Like, how concerned are they for these young athletes' well-being anyway? Much less to say now that, oh, yeah, we got their best interest at heart. Come on back and, you know, let's get ready for the season and we'll do some tackling. Like, wait a minute. Let's slow all that down. Like, I don't know. I was very thankful to see that as well. I think that's what certainly qualifies workplace racism. I've been saying this whole time, black self-respect in this time, a lot of that could be, I am going to speak up and make sure that I am preserving and looking out for my safety and well-being. For sure. Let's see, the other folks have commentary to share. We have less than 30 minutes, unless folks are all satisfied and just spectating, but less than 30 minutes left in the broadcast for workplace racism. Any other thoughts? Folks want to make sure they get in.
Can I give an addition?
Retired firefighter in Florida.
Yes. There were two reports speaking about sports. One was and it's slightly belated, but it's now making news, you know, over this latest global situation. University of Clemson, I believe they were national champions in football, collegiate level wise, and said the articles are saying that the head coach is kind of like, I forgot the metaphor. you done got me stopping saying metaphors even outside of Saturdays. But I forgot what the metaphor called when someone is being called to order, so to speak, about something that they did not do. But in this case, with the head football coach, he had made a oath almost that he was, if any coach or anybody say and do something racist, that he would fire them immediately. Well, the strength and conditioning coach, and the reason why that position is so significant on the collegiate level, because that person and the staff of these large multi-million dollar collegiate programs, the strength coach and the staff of the strength and conditioning spends more time around the athletes than their coaches do. And some course of time in a very loud and boisterous way, he identified a player, a non-white black player, as a nigger. He said it in a phrase, that he claims, yes, I did say it, but it was out of context on how I used it, that sort of thing. And the reason why the head football coach, I forget his name, the reason why the head football coach is hot seat. That's the term. That's the metaphor. But the reason why the head football coach is getting some attention is because as the chief administrator, he did not address the subject until someone brought it up again. And he still didn't address it in a satisfactory way. I forgot the other report that I was going to mention. It'll come up. Maybe within the 30 minutes, it'll come up again. I just can't. I'm getting old. I'm forgetting stuff all the time. But anyway, yeah, that particular report has been making the news lately, which is atypical. Those environments, once you sign that contract, once that teenager signs that contract, you know, they get a lot of publicity now more than they ever been before, you know, especially during the time that I've been coaching since 1981. Now they getting the teenagers are being dealt with as far as publicity wise, in some cases, like, they're professional athletes. And, but once they get you on that campus, then it's like a situation whereas, and because now they, meaning for the most part, the white coaches and staff, they depend on those black males who is essentially that's who the people that they're recruiting, to keep them into the millions of dollars, hundreds of thousands of dollars as far as their salary is concerned. So therefore, in a lot of situations, they will confront black males, get right up in their faces, that sort of thing. Very hostile environment. Very hostile environment that really don't get reported. It really doesn't get reported because there's some sort of culture that I would tell you, there's some sort of culture that takes place in those environments where they don't go outside of that environment. It's a culture of not going, it's a culture where you don't go outside that environment and speak about what goes on inside of the locker room or the practice field, that sort of thing. But the environment, a lot of cases, is very hostile. Very hostile. It's a very hostile work environment. And also from the standpoint of the difference of ages. Although, you know, some of the young people on that level are beginning to be more tentative and basically are practicing self-respect in a lot more better stage. But it's a very hostile environment in that situation after they sign those contracts and go to those large multi-million-dollar, billion-dollar industry environments. Yeah.
Absolutely. I think even there have been some white authors who've talked about, for a lot of those athletes there, under, I think Dabo Swinney is the white coach at Clemson, suspected racist. But
yes, that's him. That's him.
They say that those that black athletes, these are children we're talking about generally, 18, 19, 20, very young, that especially at the competitive, the larger schools like a Clemson, LSU, Alabama, FSU, that they are coached, told, hey, you know, you might be at a game. You heard all the locate Florida, Alabama, Georgia, all these. You might be at a game. White person might call you a Negro, Coon, Spear, Chaka. Yeah, don't say anything. The reporters come after the game, and you know, nope, I got to tell them, oh, yeah, I was called a Coon 50. Just don't say when I have all that trouble. Just ignore it. That this is a part of the culture and coaching that they get. So I'm not surprised that, you know, you'd have things like this happen, and you just, you know, sweep it under the rug, as they say, this incident, you know, with the coach and, you know, how it all is being handled. But in the same, particularly for those who are there under so much pressure, you know, if you're trying to get to the NFL or what have you, you don't want to rock the boat, as they say. You don't want to be a Colin Kaepernick.
Right.
So just be quiet, not say anything, see if I can get. We are still in. Clemson is in South Carolina, so I mean, Pitchfork Ben Tillman, all about him too. I mean, hey, yeah, I can. And again, you're 19-20. I could see. You know, let me just be quiet and see if we can, you know, get through all this as best we can. But yeah, that is.
Yeah, that. And the coaches. Oh, I'm sorry. I was going to say the coaches, they're like multimillionaires, and they are celebrities. They become celebrities. The one at University of Alabama, the one that you just mentioned, and those guys, they have like flippant attitudes. They talk real fast, and if you say even a white person that says something to them that they don't like, they get some kind of, you know, what you kind of, you asking me that kind of question for, you know, that sort of thing, you know, those type of attitudes. So I know with the 18, 19, 20 year old black male that they're even worse, because in a lot of cases, they don't allow cameras or anything like that to be in those environments. And so, like I said before, they really get up in their faces on that. What the last thing I just remembered is that there has been more, and I'm going to use the term coaching, for these young people to start considering the historical black colleges. Now, that effort is come up again based on what's been going on over the last couple of weeks. I still don't see it. I still don't see it because, as I mentioned, the difference into these multi-billion-dollar industries, and I'm not even talking about the professional teams. I'm talking about the University of Michigan, the University of Alabama. University of Michigan has had over 100,000 people as spectators at their game since the mid-1960s. Every single game. Since the 1960s, they've had, no matter who they play, you know, these are multi-billion-dollar businesses, and you know, it's not even close when it comes to a Florida A&M University or a Grambling State University, you know, as far as that concerned. And the young people want to play professional sports because of the money and all the other things that goes along with it. You know, so it's going to have to be a little bit more for them to gain their attention. I put it that way. Yeah, that's it. Thank you.
Context of white supremacy. We will see how it goes. I know those white institutes, Clemson and the Alabamas and UCLAs, USCs, I know they are not going to allow their niggers to be poached. I'm sure they will do a lot to stop anyone from stealing that dark athletic talent that they have been siphoning for years now. So it'll be interesting to see how all of that, you know, plays out over the next few months, weeks, years, even really. Number again, 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press star 61 if you would like to participate. Last few moments, folks have any other questions, suggestions, observations that they want to share before we wrap things up, don't wait till the last moment.
Hi, Gus.
Be in Toronto.
Hi, thank you. I had a couple of questions. The first is around medical leave. I know that for the doctor that I'm seeing, he had advised that I be off until June 15th, and I notified my employer about that, and they also have a copy of the doctor's note. However, I received an email from the area manager stating that they're anticipating my return on June the 15th. However, they already know that that's when my medical leave ends. So I'm just wondering if any of the callers or if you yourself have experienced where the employer is being deliberately, I think that they're being deliberately vindictive, not only for the fact that they've called me on June 10th to tell me that I'm not getting paid, but also doing this, knowing that technically I'm off until the 15th and that I wouldn't start until the 16th. And they have an email, an email that I sent prior to this. So that was the first question. And then the second question is it's more of an observation. And I was just wondering if anyone else has noticed this, that with white coworkers, or just studying white people, I noticed that they tend to mimic a lot of the affect, facial affect. Like if you're smiling, they're smiling. If you're not smiling, they sometimes will not smile temporarily and then change to a smile. It's almost as if through the mimicking, they appear to be more human than they really are. If I mentioned that in clear, the only reason why I had mentioned this observation is that I remember one time there was a coworker that was just staring at me. I didn't know why they were staring at me, but they just stared at me. So I decided to do something really odd, which was I smiled and then I stopped smiling. And I noticed that when I smiled, they smiled. When I stopped smiling, they stopped. When I smiled again, they did it again. And then when I stopped, they stopped again. And I was just noticing this mimicking pattern. So I was wondering if anyone else has noticed that as well. Thank you, and I leave the line.
Much obliged. Be in Toronto. Thank you kindly for sharing. Again, hoping you are doing much, much better over the next few weeks, days, really. But doing much, much better. Stay in touch. It's been a tough year worldwide. Man, woof, man. 2020. Just trying to get to the other side. Did any other folks have questions, suggestions, observations? I know that it's so tacky with the day. Like if you've already mailed them and they know you're not supposed to be back until the 15th, then they're talking to you as though you're going to be reporting on the 15th, like the tackiness of it. I think for some of those, like just it can be good to send a reminder or confirming the fact that you are not there until the 15th so that everybody knows. That way you don't have to come back some additional, you weren't even here, you're going to be irresponsible. I'm like, no, already submitted that I'm on medical leave until the 15th. Like, you've already got that documentation. Like, now they can't read correctly. Now they can't process documents. I think we've heard from a number of folks talk about the vindictiveness. We started the program with that, number one. Our caller in Norway talking about them being vindictive. We don't want to give a little Rona aid to our international students. But the other component of the vindictiveness when you are at home on medical leave and they just still harass. I think we've heard from a number of victims over the years where they are off, even if it's a day off, not necessarily medical leave even, but just, you know, I got Tuesday off. I won't see you all again until Wednesday. And they still got to ring you on Tuesday. Do you know where we put the popcorn at? Because I'm on my day off. Find it. You're like, come on, man. Like just nag, 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 nag. Doesn't get any better. Then any other folks have commentary, suggestions they want to offer? Double check or see. Hope folks are taking things safely in their work environment. wash your hands, social distance. Hope you're not hanging out in the cafeteria and that sort of thing. If you are working with other people and they are not taking it serious, it can influence you. Like, just the same way, I know I've heard Mr. Fuller talk about, if you are a person who doesn't normally curse and you start working with people and they do a lot of cursing, a lot of times you'll end up picking it up. That's just how, you know, transference works. If you're with other people and they're not taking it serious, really be vigilant about making sure, hey, that's on them. They want to, you know, be silly and eat together and feed each other grapes or whatever else. That's on them. I'm going to take this seriously until I have really good evidence that everything is fine. We don't need a mask, all the rest of it. Everybody good? Everybody satisfied?
Can I be heard, Gus, real quick?
Bay Area mom. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. I'd like to say thank you to be in Toronto, and I'm glad he's feeling better, because I was feeling her pain as well. So thank you, be in Toronto, and thank you guys just for the commentary. This is great, and it really helps a lot. So Norway as well. Thank you. So I love you guys for all the information that you give, because it keeps me grounded, and I feel like I can share and get feedback as well. So thank you again, and that's all I wanted to share.
Yes, ma'am. Trying to be constructive if we can. Trying to be constructive, trying to follow logic. Glad you are out of there, staying safe down in California. Any other folks? Anything they needed to get in? Comments? Observations?
May I be heard?
Caller in Florida. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thanks, Gus. I just wanted to respond to the question from V in Toronto. I think she was asking about, I think, body language, how they might try to mirror the type of body language that you could be exhibiting. I noticed that, like, when I'm talking to them, they tend to look at my hands. The eyes will look down, like, if I'm not even raising my, like, both of my palms to a degree, because I'm usually pretty, I guess, grounded when I'm speaking, but it's just like a normal thing when people are just talking or whatever, and they utilize their hands a lot. I noticed that, and I noticed that if they are standing in front of me, they'll tend to not look directly at me, kind of like diagonal away, and then they'll look at me and then look over. All right. And then, like, it depends on, like, if I'm just speaking to one white person or if I'm in a room with a bunch of them. I do notice those kinds of things as well. I just wanted to make a comment about that. And if I, like, I've used one of my terms and the person I was speaking to, like her lips kind of like puckered out, like, oh, wow, I never heard that. So that was some of the instances I wanted to share on that, and that's it.
There you go, B. Much obliged. Folks can pay attention to, or I guess can comment kind of as you folks hear it, if you're listed in the archives or whatever it is. If you pay attention to that, if you had any observations about those nonverbals, I know B has talked about that before. If, you know, they're shifting or doing things with some of their facial expressions as you're talking or just as you're there with your presence even, let us know. The checking out what you're doing with your hands. And that's I guess if they got to worry about shanking you and sneaking in guns, like, yeah, we got to be looking. What's he doing? Got to be watching. Got to, what is this? What's going on here? Dangerous colored fella. Oof. Any other, if you got observations for B's question or just anything else you want to make sure you get in before we conclude?
I just real quick, Gus, I get a lot of that, especially working with white people. They watch every single movement that you make. I was talking to a dentist recently, since the COVID-19, Caucasian dentist, and
his assistant is just watching me, watching my hands, and then he said, I notice you work, you talk a lot with your hands. And I'm like, damn, really? So they watch everything you do, every movement they do. Just from my observation, with any job that has anything to do with people that classify themselves as white, so I'll need my line.
Oh, yeah. You are being super scrutinized, always under surveillance. That is the system of white supremacy. I think Red in Ohio, she called in and she said she was in cleaning her breast pump. And the white woman said, oh, you know, I've been watching you come in for the past 2 weeks, 7 days, 3 hours. And you normally spend about 10 minutes cleaning your breast pump. I've been meaning to ask you, what type of breast pump do you have exactly? How do you like it? How long have you been like, wow, really? You have a pattern for how often I need to clean out my breast pump. They are not ignorant about the system of white supremacy, and mostly because they are watching us all the time. Any other folks, observations, comments, make sure they get in before we conclude. That is a great one. The white woman who did the lip pucker upon hearing one of the terms. Got unjust networking. Unjust networking. What? Probably called a whole bunch of racial slurs on that day once they got on the clique got together and got on their texting and such. Like, man, I'm just networking. What is, how did they get him in the courthouse? I hope folks can stay safe. We at least got through another week. Spring is almost over. I don't feel like we really got to enjoy it for, I don't know, about a million different reasons. Just seems like spring is over. Like, when did it? Anyway, hopefully we can compensate and enjoy the summer to some degree. Hopefully we can make a part of that, the counter-racist yoga retreat in Washington, D.C. Get some water, some fresh fruits, veggies, eat well, do some yoga, have some counter-racist workshops, talk about all of the zaniness we have seen this year. Maybe get some relaxed time in for a few seconds if we can. Updated info is on the blog. I'll send out emails to the folks who were interested. UntilJustice@gmail.com. You can drop a message. Wow. Much obliged for everyone's time and energy this Friday evening. Folks all over the world. Kamau in Norway for staying up. Almost 5 a.m. Be in Toronto. Everybody stateside listening in who participated. Again, hope it was worthy of your Friday evening. Sobriety would be best under conditions of white supremacy. Let's preserve our brain computer. We will need high-powered thinking to solve the problem. In addition to being sober, let's be buckled every time we are in a vehicle. I still say it really is not the best time for a lot of joyriding. Like, it's pretty dangerous times for a lot of people. A lot of armed white people just roaming the streets. Some of them are concealed carry. Some of them got their long rifles, long barrels, Welsing moment. But it is not really, you know, a safe time to just going to go casually jaunter from here to there and that sort of thing. Like, man, I would still be pretty strategic when you're going out and about, where you're going, being alert as to what is happening around you. If it looks like this could be unsafe, things could happen. I don't quite, you know, I don't know. I'm just getting a vibration. This is not I'm feeling a little uneasy. Take all of that seriously. I would seriously be about the business of scrapping whatever plans. Let's just get back to the house and, you know, we'll try it again. There's no reason to take a risk. It's kind of dangerous worldwide right now. Anywho, if you are going to go out, so we are sober, buckled, and if you're driving, you are not on the cell phone, just trying to minimize as best we can any possible conflict with enforcement officers, race soldiers, badge or no. That's it, Creator. We ask that you help us remain patient with other black people victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Get more rest, eat well, no name calling black people, lots of black self-respect. Better 2020. We got through the worst of it, let's hope. Better 2020. It'll be really good down the home stretch. Better 2020. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, no brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
Shut I'm a up. Victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my conditioning. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.